is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He's going to come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there, good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Drive, Orchard Park, New York. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. I am John Murphy, this is Donald Jones, and we are here with you for the next 3 hours on the radio, on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, and on MSG, on the simulcast. Why do I always say that? On MSG. But that's where we are, on TV today and every day, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Well, this is good. They had OTA, open practice today. We all got to watch, and right in our backyard. We walked out of our office, boom, right into practice.
Don't have to go anywhere. That is the way you want it. You know, we're blessed.
We are blessed. It was good. We both just got off the field watching practice, media there, it's not the entire squad. We'll get to that in a second. But it's funny, I didn't stand next to you at practice, which, you know, because I was going to spend the next 3 hours next to you.
Right.
And Donald walks in. I said, what were your impressions? Your first impression literally was the same impression I had with practice today, and that is wide receiver Andre Holmes, the free agent.
He is, I mean, just his combination of size and how fluid he is in his routes, in and out of his routes. I mean, a guy that size, and, you know, he's tall, he's lanky, you wouldn't think that, you know, he would be that fluid in and out of breaks. He looks like he has some speed to him. I think he's going to be a good player, and he catches the ball nice.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought Andre Holmes, you know, I've seen him a couple times. I mean, there's 90 players. You can't watch everybody.
Right.
But I have seen him on the field a couple of times. But today, I was just blown away by his size. I mean, he's big. And he moves really well for a big guy.
He does. He moves very well for a big guy. Big guys usually don't move that, you know, that smooth. He has some speed to him. You know, big guys tend to be a little bit slower. He doesn't look like he's slow or anything like that. I mean, we have to see if it's the same way once the pads come on. But right now, in and out of his breaks, out of his, you know, his stance, he really looks good. And then with his size, he can really go up and catch really any pass, you know, and you see that out there on the field.
All right, impression number two, and it's funny because I had a similar impression over the weekend when I watched practice, and this deals with the special teamer, and it deals with the punter, Austin Rakow, the undrafted free agent who impressed me with his kickoffs in practice over the weekend. Danny Crossman said today it's a bona fide competition between Rakow and Colton Schmidt, the current punter, and he's got a big leg. We both noticed that.
He's got a big leg. Yeah, he definitely has a big leg. We got to see him do a couple of different things, and we've talked about being versatile and how Coach McDermott likes to have versatile players on his team. The more you can do in this league, the longer you can last in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gives you a better chance at making a team, especially if you're an undrafted guy. So the fact that he can kick off, the fact that he can punt, I'm sure they would probably have him trying field goals as well. And if he can do all of that stuff and be consistent, if he can just be consistent in the punt game, I think he'll be okay. The fact that he has that strong leg in kickoffs.
Because I do think the experiment with having a kickoff specialist is over.
Oh, yeah.
So Austin Rakow, if he makes the roster, is probably going to be the punter. They're not going to be around. And I don't know that he is quite the kicker that Stephen Hauschka is, at least not with the record of experience. Obviously, he's a rookie. But it's worth watching, that punting battle and the special teams battle in general. Anything else? Anybody else stand out at you?
I was watching a little bit of the DBs. Ronald Darby looked good out there. Mm-hmm. He looked quick, very quick on his feet and you know, talking to different guys at no corners, Marlon Kerner to be exact. You know, he likes how he looks thus far in his drills and in individuals and things like that. He looks like what they're asking him to do is something that he's comfortable doing in the side shuffles and the back shuffles and things like that. It plays right into his game. So he looked good out there. That's really all I watched. I watched the DBs, receivers, and then I watched the specialists.
I was down watching offensive linemen again, and again, really like Deion Dawkins.
Yeah.
And he's lining up at left tackle again. Cordy Glenn, as you heard on the show yesterday, not quite ready to jump into the fray. But just like Deion Dawkins looks the part, I don't know where he winds up. Right tackle maybe left tackle. But I thought Deion Dawkins continued to look good to me. And I spent a lot of time watching the tight ends at practice today. And there were some interesting things going on at tight end. Charles Clay gets a day off today, maintenance day. So it was O'Leary and Logan Thomas and the two rookies, Tobridge and Jason Kroom. Those two rookies are interesting, Donald. Kroom, clearly a different frame size than Keith Tobridge, both rookies, both undrafted free agents. I don't know if they both can make the roster, but they both, I think, are going to make a strong bid to do what they do. Neither one of them is going to be a, you know, this year anyway, I think a big-time starter or right. contributor to this team. But they look like prospects, both of them, mostly yeah. because they look the part. They both move pretty well. Kroom, a little more fluid, I think, than Tobridge. Tobridge has a bigger frame and a little bulkier, can probably be a blocking tight end. But don't be surprised if Kroom and Tobridge make a strong bid to, you know, wind up here in some capacity, whether it's practice capacity. Squad.
I would think at least one of those guys can make the roster. The other one can make, you know, be on the practice squad. If you know, the rest of Logan Thomas and those guys yeah. don't really pan out. Because when you do watch, and I did watch Kroom run one route, mm-hmm. and you can tell, you know, his athleticism
yep.
in his routes. Now, the biggest thing for him is, because he's still young in this league, he has to learn more patience. I saw him run a nod route, which is like an out and up from the tight end position, and he did it very fast, just too quick. You have to be patient. And once he learns that, you can see how athletic he is. You can yeah. see him catch the ball. So for him, it's more just – learning how to be patient, and that takes time for receivers and tight ends in this league.
A little bit of news coming out today. No Zay Jones today. Now, Jones was scheduled to go to the rookie premiere, but he did not, and he is out. Zay Jones sustained a knee injury in practice on Tuesday, a couple of days ago. Did not practice yesterday and did not practice today. It is being described as a knee sprain, a knee injury, and the Bills listed as week-to-week. Buffalo's second-round draft pick, Zay Jones, who was impressive over the weekend in the rookie camp, came up with a knee sprain in the practice on Tuesday and is not going to be able to go for a couple of weeks. A minor setback, Donald. Mm-hmm. Nothing major there. A minor setback, I guess, for him.
Yeah, it's a minor setback. Now, once he gets into training camp, because guys like Andre Holmes and Philly Brown and the rest of the receivers out there, even D'Keal Shorts, who I had a chance to watch today, look good out there, you know. So guys like that, you know, they're going to have an upper leg on them, because they've probably going to practice the entire mini camps and OTAs and things like that. I don't know when he'll be back. We'll see once he gets back. But, you know, I would think that it's for me, it's smart not to try to rush him back.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say bring him back to camp. But who knows? He might want to get back, and they might want to get him back on the field. I think that those guys, though, will have the upper hand on them just because they're going to have more reps in practice.
Zay Jones going to be week to week. We mentioned on the sidelines today was Charles Clay. I believe that's a maintenance day.
Yeah,
they said same for Eric Wood, just kind mm-hmm. of a day off. No practice for Sammy Watkins and who else? Cordy Glenn, the usual. It's Quanjo, Kobe Listenby, Jordan Johnson on the sidelines. Tight end Blake Cannon on the sidelines as well. So that's the update from OTAs today. And today is the final day this week of OTAs. When today is over, that will be 3 days in the books for OTAs, with seven more left to come. So the OTAs will resume next week, as a matter of fact. Now, we have a lot to talk about today and a good lineup of guests today. We want to hear from you on Twitter and on the telephones. And here's why. We heard from the coordinators. Really the first time we've heard from
yeah,
the coordinators.
Anybody it is the first time. Yep.
Yeah, Danny Crossman on special teams, Rick Dennison, the offensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier on defense, held news conferences before today's OTA practice. We're going to play all three of them for you during the course of the afternoon. But it got us thinking about who's going to get better here on this roster. And we want to hear from you. Which unit do you think will improve the most from last year to this year on the Buffalo Bills? Pretty simple question. Which unit will get the most improvement? Offense, defense, special teams. That's our Twitter poll. It is up right now. Pretty clear that most people expect a big jump from the defense. 77% of Twitter respondents so far say the defense will improve the most from last year. 16% say the offense. We debated whether to include special teams because, you know, it's special teams.
Right.
But we decided to put it in there because they need to get better on special teams. Field goal accuracy, obviously, point afters, kick coverage in general. So we put special teams in there. That's getting 7% of the vote. But let's hear from you. The phone line's open. Which unit do you think will improve the most from 2016? Put on your forecast glasses. Put on your prognostication glasses. Let us know what you think will get better from last year to this. Which will improve the most? Defense, offense, special teams. That's our Twitter poll. Love to talk to you on the phone about it at 803-0550. toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Or, again, you can talk to us on Twitter about it. I'm going to go defense, Donald. I mean, clearly that they have, I think, the capacity to be much better than they were a year ago, the last 2 years, actually. I think I like the addition of a new a coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going defense. And,
yeah,
I see why people are going that way also.
I agree with you. I have to go defense. And I've talked about this a lot. You know, I understand how people feel like, you know, they want the passing game to get better. And I want the passing game on the offensive side of the ball to get better as well. But, you know, when you're scoring 24, 25 points a game and you're still losing games, I think there is an issue there. And that means that your defense is not able to shut teams down when we need you to shut teams down. You're giving up more than 24, 25 points a game. That is not good at all, you know. So I have to go defense. I think that they need to improve really on all of the phases of the defense, each level. You know, the defensive line, they can get better because you should have Shaq now in his second year looking a lot better in a full season, you know, full off season and a full season. He should be better. Jerry Hughes, you want to get him back to being Jerry Hughes. Marcel, you want Marcel in, like, in your defensive line, and we've talked about him. He looks good out here. He really does.
Yes.
And I think the coordinators have talked about him today as well.
Yeah, what did you can't
Leslie Frazier.
What did you say? Marcel's missed like
he
one
just said
classroom
he missed one, yeah, one meeting, and it was voluntary.
Yeah.
You know, so he missed one meeting. He's done everything that he's been asked to do. So, you know, they're very impressed with what he's done thus far. He, to me and to you, like you said earlier, he does look like he's slimmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
He looks like he's light on his feet and he's ready to play. He's ready to do this thing. I'm sure in his mind he's tired of all of the criticism that he's received over the past year. And rightfully so. I mean, look, you know, when you're the guy that everybody's looking to and you're making that type of money, you're going to receive that criticism. If you're not, you get suspended and then you come back and you get hurt, you know, because – you weren't able to work out. You weren't able to do the same thing. So, yeah, you really deserve that type of criticism. I'm sure he's tired of it, though. So he looks good out there, you know. So I think with him and the rest of those guys on the back end of the defense, that defense needs to get better, and I hope it does.
Marcel, I've said it a couple of times this week even. He to me, is the key man on the roster this year. And I'm glad to hear, as Coach Frazier said, that he is participating on a regular basis. Yeah, he looks a little bit more conditioned than he was. Even, you know, 4 or 6 weeks ago when this offseason work began, I think he looks better and at least slimmer. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to hear that he's, you know, locking into the meeting time. And, you know, you mentioned the contract. Yeah, he's expected to do a lot because of the money. But, you know, Donald, I expect a lot from Marcel because I think he is supremely gifted.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. He's one of those rare people, big people who can just move so quick and be so – he's so athletically gifted. I hate to think that, you know, he's moving through his career without kind of, you know, maxing out his athletic ability.
Right.
If he can get back to where he was or even, you know, get good this year, that would be great. I think that would be really great.
You hate to see when people are so gifted and they don't use it the right way, you know, and you see it just fall by the wayside because of different reasons. You know, and so for Marcel, we know how Marcel can play, and we would just want to see him get back to that and be consistent at that level. Like, just have that drive every year to be the best defensive lineman in the league, the best defensive tackle in the league. You know, they shouldn't say Aaron Donald is the best defensive tackle in the league.
Yeah.
They should say Marcel Darius is – and if – in my mind, if I'm Marcel Darius, I take that – like, that's offensive to me, you know. And I'm offended just because I come to work every day. I'm on the field – every day I play in every game, and then I give it my all. But because he hasn't come to work every day in the past couple of years, because he hasn't been on the field in every game, because he's been suspended, he's dealt with things off the field, he's been injured, he can't really be offended, you know. In his mind, he might say, I'm offended because I know I'm better, but you really can't because Aaron Donald is out there putting in the work every week.
Speaking about coming to work every day that the new general manager, Brandon Bean, has been on the job,
He seems to hire someone.
He's the number one job creator in all of New York State, Brandon Bean. He did it again
in
today.
All of New York State.
He's unbelievable. He hired a – look, they've gotten after it when it comes to hiring people, and the Bills just announced that they now have an assistant director of college scouting in the fold. Pretty familiar name, I think, if you're a football fan. Lake Dawson, who's been a senior player personnel associate with the Cleveland Browns for the last couple of years. He was vice president of player personnel for the Tennessee Titans for 5 years before that, and director of pro personnel for the Titans for about 4 years before that, assistant director of pro personnel for the Seattle Seahawks prior to that, and pro personnel assistant for Seattle for a couple of years. Lake Dawson played 6 years in the NFL. He was a product of Notre Dame and, you know, a receiver who did play in the league. And Lake Dawson now joins the Buffalo Bills personnel department as assistant director of college scouting. Late yesterday, the Bills announced that Malik Boyd had been hired as director of pro personnel. I anticipate they're going to add a few more spots. They got busy now. I give them a lot of credit. They got busy.
Brandon Bean is like a temp agency. Like
He's
just hiring people left and right, you know, and good hires too. It's not like, you know, like people that are versatile, people that can do different things, have kind of climbed up the ladder in different ways, you know, and now you bring in a Lake Dawson who was a player in this league. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you would think now he's done it for a little while. So you would think he has an eye for players, and that's on and off the field. You know, he came from Notre Dame. So, you know, he has a good background. He knows when he's talking to these players, this guy is passionate about football. I can see everything on the field. He's a good defensive lineman. He's a good wide receiver. He's versatile. But how passionate is he about playing this game? And for me, that's the biggest thing. How passionate are you? Like, when we give you money, are you still going to want to come to work every day, or are you going to want to do something else? You know, and because he was a player, I think that is a plus for him because he can really see the passion in these guys.
Lake Dawson just announced as the Buffalo Bills' brand-new assistant director of college scouting. He played in the league. He was a third-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs in 1994. Spent time on the Indianapolis Colts roster as a player. Graduate of Notre Dame. Played there, working towards a master's degree. Lake Dawson is 10 or 12 years now in the league, and he is the new Bills assistant director of college scouting, 23 years playing and coaching in the NFL. It was reported overnight that the Bills were talking to Marvin Allen to become the director of college scouting. Marvin Allen, who spent some time with Kansas City. No confirmation of that yet, but there may be later on in the day. So a pro personnel director added yesterday, Malik Boyd. We talked a little bit about him. And an assistant director of college scouting added today, Lake Dawson. And maybe more moves to come. It's busy in that personnel department.
And it's really amazing because we were saying, like, how are they going to hire people at this point in the season? You know, like, I mean, in the offseason, however you want, in this point of the football year, how do you go out there and hire a full staff? And it doesn't seem like they had any issue in hiring anybody thus far, you know, and I don't expect it to change until they have their full staff in place, you know. Brandon Bean is a busy man right now. He's on the phones. He's working it. And it's good, man. I'm excited about what they're doing, about these hires that they've made and the guys that hopefully they bring in soon.
We're talking a lot about the Bills' mini camp or OTAs, which is today, and we're talking a lot after we heard from the coordinators today about which unit on the Bills is in line for the most improvement. Which do you think will improve the most? Matt calling from Dansville. Matt, any thoughts on this? Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. So we just got a new kicker, and I was going to say that for the most stabilization, I think that the special teams will improve the most from last year, based on from Dan Carpenter to I forgot the new kicker that we just got.
It's Hauschka, Stephen Hauschka.
Or I forgot whatever his name was.
Hauschka.
We got him from the Seahawks.
Hauschka.
Yeah, Hauschka. There you go.
Yeah.
One of the most accurate kickers in the league, and I think that's going to be one of the biggest improvements because from game to game, we could have won easily one or two games that could have put us in the run for the playoffs based on just field goals alone. So I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about it. Thank you.
Matt, when we were doing this Twitter poll, we really almost left out special teams. And then one of us came back and was like, you got to add special teams.
That was me.
Okay, I'll give it to you. You got to add special teams.
Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to get some calls about special teams. And the first call we take is on special teams. It's an important part of the game. And it's not that important until it becomes important at the end of the game. Or if a field goal kicker misses one, and then it comes back to haunt you because you lose by 1 point or something like that, you know. And so special teams is very important. Or if you give up a big kickoff return, a punt return for touchdown that comes back to haunt you. I mean, it is so important, these types of things. Having a good punter, the guy who can pin teams down inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5, you know, it's so important. We get so hung up on the offense and the defense because, you know, it's the offense and the defense. The special team sometimes does fall by the wayside in people's mindsets until it becomes important.
It's not important until it's important.
Right.
Hey, speaking of offense and defense, the coordinator spoke today, including Danny Crossman, the special teams coordinator. We'll hear from him later on. But we do want to let you know what those coordinators said. They haven't said anything since they were hired by Sean McDermott several months ago. Rick Dennison, offensive coordinator, who came over from the Denver Broncos, met with the media today, addressed the media for about 10 minutes or so, and he started out talking about his prior working relationship with Tyrod Taylor when they were both in Baltimore.
Obviously, we had Joe. So working with Joe, he and Joe got along very, very well. They were great. They worked, you know, they worked through all their progressions and did all their work together, their study together. I don't think so. For everything that we asked Tyrod to do that year, and he only got a few snaps, he did a very good job. I was very impressed with his work habits, his study habits. He was always on task. We quiz the quarterbacks every Saturday before a Sunday game, go through the whole game plan, and he was always on task with that. He did everything that we asked, and obviously he's a very talented, gifted athlete. So I don't think that there was anything that he didn't. Obviously he had some success the last couple years here.
How much of a group have you seen since 2014 to today?
Well, we're still working through that. I think he is is everything that I expected. He's doing what I would have expected when I worked with him in Baltimore. I think he knows what he's doing. He knows where everybody is. He's a good leader in the huddle, and I think he's doing a good job. Obviously, his work habits are just as great as they were back then. I mean, he's working his tail off at it. He's watching film. He's doing work outside the building.
What are you able to do? Well, I guess first off, what makes Tyrod the right fit for your offense, and what are you able to do to fit the offense?
Well, right fit or not fit, he's a good player. I mean, he throws the ball well, and he's athletic, so he can do some of the stuff that we want to do when we move him out of the pocket. But I've had quarterbacks that aren't as gifted that can still get that done because they have to defend the run, and obviously with the guys we have up front and LaShawn, I think we can run the ball pretty doggone good. So they will have to defend a lot of the field.
How can you fit this offense, what you've used in the past, to some of the stuff that Tyrod does well?
That's just natural. I mean, like I said, when we were in Baltimore, he did a good job with anything we did, drop back, keepers, our play pass. You know, he handles the checks very well. So I don't think it's a fit. A matter of making anything square pegs and round holes or round holes and square. You know, I think he plays the game well, and that's what we're trying to do is get our guys to play the game well and win some games.
Rick, you've spent the past 6 or 7 years working under Gary. How much have you gotten from that, and how much does your philosophy, might your philosophy change now that you're under a new coach for the first time in a number of years?
Well, in those 6 and 7 years and then 14 of the previous 15, I was with Mike Shanahan. So, and Alex Gibb taught me the run game. All of that goes together. I mean, you have to go that together. My philosophy is kind of what I've developed over the years, which is very similar to those. I don't know how much it's going to change. Certainly, there's a few things that we're doing that we've watched on film that we didn't do over the last couple of years. Some things that they did here that Juan and I have talked about, run game particularly, that they've done very well that we're going to try and carry over. It's whatever we think we need to do for the 2017 Buffalo Bills to move the ball, right, make first downs and win the game. I think it's a blend of everything, but it's always going to be all about the Bills.
You mentioned the run game briefly there. How much easier does LeSean McCoy make everything?
Well, certainly he's a great player. I mean, he's done, his success is over the years has been great. I've always watched him and marveled at the things he could do. He can make people miss. He can create lanes on his own, if you will. So it does make things easier. I think he runs any scheme very well. I mean, as long as he's making yards, I'm happy.
What about the depth behind?
Behind?
LeSean.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, obviously, you know, we lost a player, but that's not, you know, that's just what happens. And we get count on Jonathan and Cedric and the guys that we got behind. You know, we got Joe from we had some experience with him in Jacksonville. So we got some guys, and we're going to compete and see what happens. You know, we know LeSean can make some plays, but, you know, sometimes he'll need a break. But those guys are here for a reason. They're here to compete, to get some playing time and some carries.
With five quarterbacks, you know, getting guys time might be a tough thing. How are you kind of navigating that, knowing you got some young people that you probably want to get reps and a guy in TJ who's, I think, been in the system before?
Yeah, I had TJ in Houston. I feel comfortable that he knows what to do, but it's a competition, and we're just in May right now. We don't have to play for a while. We don't even have to practice, you know, in training camp for a while. So we're trying to get everybody as many reps as we can, but just knowing we're trying to train the guys that are going to be playing in September. We're trying to make sure that they get the bulk of the reps, but we're not discounting anybody's experience. We're trying to give them all the experience, and some of it may have to be just on tape for the time being. But at some point in time, that'll work itself out. I don't have any problem with it. You know, certainly for Nathan, who just got here, you know, and he had a rookie minicamp. Coming up next week will be the first time he hears some of this stuff. He's not heard it before. So it'll be good for him to watch the veterans do that. For the other guys that have been here a while, they've heard it once, but they've heard these first 3 days three times. So, you know, it's just the way we kind of present them. The bulk of the material, most of what we try to teach concepts are in the first 3 days of install. So that's why we try to teach that three times in a row. Now we're getting to some more specialty things, some third downs and some red zone, some different situations. And they maybe need to sit back and take a look at those and watch other guys rep those things. But we'll all get the right experience and we'll all make the right decision. I think those things will play out pretty easily.
Hey, Rick, as you went through the film for the offseason watching this offense last year, why do you – it's been a few years that they have struggled to pass the ball effectively. They've been a great running team, but they have struggled with the pass game. What did you decipher in that film that you thought were some of the problems?
I tried not to be critical. I was looking at personnel only, right? What do we need to do? Who do we need to keep on this team that I think can make some plays and to go on? I was not even looking at their scheme, I'm not even going to comment on that. All I'm worried about is forward, moving forward, right? I know who the players that we have, and I think the potential that we can do a good job with, and some guys that can make a lot of plays. You know, and some guys that are going to be good backup guys. That's all I was trying to do looking at their tape. I was not even trying to look at their schemes. I just know that up front we get some good players. LeSean's a good player, very good player. Tyrod can make some plays, and obviously Sammy can make some plays. So from then on, we're just going to fill the team, give the guys the opportunities that prove themselves to be players. You know, give the better they play, the more opportunities they'll get, and then by opening day against the Jets, we'll have a 53-man roster that we think can win some games.
Rick, as much as you know what Sammy Watkins can do by watching, well, you didn't probably get to see him all that much because you only played 8 games last year, but how much of a setback is it that Sammy won't be on the field for at least until training camp and not get accustomed to what you want him to do?
Well, there's not a whole lot we can do about that, setback or not. So we're giving him every experience we can. I mean, asking him questions in the meeting, make sure he's up to task, and he has been. Asking him a question today that was a little obscure, and he answered it fine. So he's been studying. He's been working out. So all we can do is give him all the experience we can video, let him see some things. If he get a chance to do anything, it'd be only in a walkthrough. And when the time comes, he goes out to compete. We got to get him healthy and get him on the field.
Jake, you have something, Jake?
Back to just Zay Jones and Deion Dawkins, the two high picks for you guys. I'm just curious as to the philosophy. I know you want to bring them along at a pace that they can handle, but when you have guys like that that I think people hope can push for significant contributing roles, do you drop them in the deep end of the pool and see if they swim? I'm just kind of curious what the approach is with those guys.
Oh, the approach is just like anybody else. If they're on this roster, if in that meeting room, we think they can play. Even, you know, I was a college free agent, and I squeezed 9 years out of it. So hopefully, you know, we saw something in everybody to get them out there. You know, obviously we thought pretty highly of those guys to draft them, but we're going to have them go out there and compete. And like I said, once they show that they can handle the material, they'll work for playing time, and they'll work for more playing time, you know, the better they get.
Sean, last week had mentioned the learning curve that you guys are all kind of going through right now as a coaching staff, getting to know each other. How do you see that coming along so far?
Well, I think that's coming along well. I mean, the you know, just like he said, I mean, every process that we do, we went through free agency, we went through the draft, it's all different for everybody because we've all come from different systems. This is how we did it. Well, that may not be exactly how we do it. There's some similarities in everything we do, even in these camps, you know, how much each period, how much we do, what kind of rotation do we want, how much do we want those guys to play. But it's with Sean, he's very open. You know, this is the way I think. What do you guys think? And then we talk it out and we come up with a group decision. You know, let's get this done this way. And it's been great. I mean, his conversations with me, you know, I asked for a little bit more individual time. He tried to squeeze a little bit. There's a lot of techniques that we're trying to teach. He tried to squeeze it. And then one time he said, I can't give you anymore. This is all we got. So we'll make do with what we have. So it's really been a good give and take. And I've known Leslie for a long time, you know. And I just said, look, we're going to just do our install. We're not trying to win practice. We're trying to do our install. But if there's something that you need us to show you, hey, we probably got it in the playbook somewhere. Just tell me and we'll do it done. He said the same thing defensively with coverages.
Hey, Rick, how critical in your philosophy is the tight end to, you know, a productive offense? We've seen it in the league. This team, again, struggled a little bit with the tight end involved, the way maybe people thought. How critical do you think a big, productive tight end is?
Well, I think there are 11 guys on offense, so each guy's got to pull his weight, right? And I think Charles has been a good player over the years. He's obviously had some big years. I think he'll do fine in this system. And again, well, we're just seeing who gets the ball. But if whoever makes the plays, that's who we're going to try and get the ball to. So that'll all work itself out. I don't have any problem at all with how Charles is working and he's studying and trying to get. He actually ran a couple of great routes over the last couple of days. Just things that we've done over the years that, you know, that some of the guys that we've had. But we've had some all kinds of variety of tight ends, from, you know, the real fast athletics to the not so athletic, and we'll make something. Whatever we got, whatever 11's on the team, we'll figure out how to get them the ball and make it work.
Rick, I know you're moving forward and not looking back, but ground and pound was the philosophy in the previous years, and it succeeded with the fact that the team did lead the league in rushing the last 2 years. Is it still ground and pound, or I know you like a balanced approach?
I love a balanced approach, but we are playing in the AFC East. I mean, there's going to be some bad weather games where you have to run the ball well. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And I think we will. I really have confidence in our system. I have confidence in the players that we have in that locker room. But once they're up in there, you know, you take your shots over their head. That's the way I've always tried to do it in the years that I've learned this game from the guys that taught me the game. So we'll be successful running it, and when they're up there trying to stop the run, we'll take our shots down the field.
Rick Dennison, Bills offensive coordinator, meeting with the media before today's OTA workout. Do you think the Bills were really ground and pound the last 2 years? Look, they were the number one rushing attack, and if they were, I mean, they did it pretty well, the ground and pound part. But I hear Dennison talk at the end there about how if they come up and stack the box, we'll throw it over the top. I don't know that that's much different than the approach the last few years.
No.
Now, can they get it done? Do they have healthy receivers? Do they have Tyrod willing to chuck it downfield and willing to take chances? That question, I think, is legit.
Right. But here's the thing. Ground and pound, if you are a team that leads the league in rushing 2 years in a row, you're going to be looked at as a ground and pound team.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a quarterback that is also good in the run game, helps you out in the run game, yeah, you're going to be, and especially if you're 30th or 31st in passing, you're going to be looked at as ground and pound. But every team wants to use one phase of their game to help out with the other phase, right? So they're going to use the run. They're a run-first team. So they're going to use the run, run the ball. If you decide that you want to stop our run, then we'll go up over the top of the defense. Now, you do need Tyrod to be able to complete those passes. You need those guys on the field. And that's something they haven't been able to do. They weren't able to do last year. They were not able to just consistently go down the field. I mean, they completed passes of, you know, 10, 12, 15 yards, but not those deep balls down the field that we saw from Sammy Watkins 2 years ago and then
right.
later in the season last year.
I guess I look back at the last couple of years and think if they had the ability to throw it with good, consistent quarterbacking and healthy receivers and a healthy Sammy Watkins, I'm sure Greg Roman would have done that. Anthony Lynn would have done that. They sort of fell into being a ground-oriented attack because of the way the cards were dealt.
Right.
I don't know that the approach was, let's just run the heck out of it and try to win that way. I don't think that was the approach going in.
You know, and Rex Ryan's teams have had that. People have said that about them for the last, going back to his days with the Jets.
Because he didn't really have a great quarterback there?
Never had a great quarterback. Right. Like a great quarterback, that you can say we want to just put the game on his shoulders.
Right.
They will use the run game, play action, go down the field. And that's what they want to do now.
Hey, which unit on the Bills stands to improve the most in 2016? That's what we want to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550. And outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-552-550. You can vote in our Twitter poll. Which unit will improve the most from 2016 for the Buffalo Bills? What do you think? On Twitter, responding right now, 75% of you say the defense will have the most improvement. 18% say the offense. 7% say the special teams. You just heard offensive coordinator Rick Dennison. By the way, he's going to be on the show with us live in studio at this time tomorrow at 12:30. Rick Dennison will join us tomorrow on the show live in studio. Coming up next, we'll hear from more of the coordinators. We'll talk more about Zay Jones, who has missed a couple of days of these OTAs with a apparent knee sprain. And we hope to take your phone calls as well. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yes, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and we're here until 3 o'clock today, and a pretty good show coming up. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll be joined by Reggie Ragland, Bill's second-year linebacker. Never saw the field last week. That's just about 20 minutes away. Coming up later, we'll hear from Tyrod Taylor at the podium, and Chris Brown's going to join us in studio at 2 o'clock for his take on the news of the day, the third and final day this week of organized team activity, and the knee injury suffered by Zay Jones, Buffalo's second-round draft pick, who has missed the last couple of days of OTAs with an apparent knee sprain. We got a tweet on this, a couple of tweets on this. Chris Pearson, can you confirm that Zay Jones has a knee injury and is listed week to week? I can confirm that. He has a apparent knee sprain and is listed week to week. Anxious Oak tweets him, get ready for the Zay Jones' injury prone calls. he's right.
I knew it was coming.
They're coming.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Rob Rollin tweets, and I missed yesterday's show. Did you guys comment on Tom Brady's concussion news? We did.
We did.
I got more to say about it today.
You
the
do?
The NFL had more to say, yeah.
What'd the NFL say?
Well, we'll get to that, Donald. Okay. Settle down.
Let me Google.
This is a three-hour thing here.
It is.
You know,
it's not five, though, so we got to –
you got to let the show breathe a little bit. We're trying to let the show breathe. We really want to hear from you about which unit you think will improve the most on the Buffalo Bills. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Rick calling from all the way in California. Hello, Rick. Go ahead.
Hey, Murph, Donald. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're okay.
Good.
Hey, Buffalo, I just wanted to put my little 2 cents worth in here. On the Twitter poll, I believe that the part of the game that's going to improve the most is going to be the special teams, and I'll tell you why. Is for the last couple of years, every single time Dan Carpenter got on the field, everybody's holding their breath because you don't know if that ball's going to make it or not, you know, every single time. So that being said, I'm sure the kicking department, I am so thrilled that Dan Carpenter is off the roster and we got somebody new because I think we have nowhere to go but up. And that being said, do you guys happen to know the stats on the last couple of years of how many games we would have won if Carpenter would have made the kicks that he missed?
No, I've never come across that stat. I mean, that's kind of hard. How do you say that? I mean, you miss a kick early, and then you know, sometimes you chase that point. Sometimes you need that point. I don't know. Was there one game where somebody's going to call and say, yes, this game? But Rick, the caller, do you know, was there one game where it was like if he hadn't missed that extra point, they would have won? I don't know that there was.
You know what? Well, there's actually a few games, really, but the point I was trying to make on that was every single time you got Carpenter on the field to make a kick that's more than 35 yards, everybody's holding their breath, and you don't know if it's going to go in, where every other team, for the most part, you know, they have a a better stat in that department. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. Carpenter struggled. There's no question, though, that moving the line back for points after made a difference. It's reflected in the stats. It wasn't just Dan Carpenter.
Some other kickers,
not all of them, but the percentages went down league-wide. It was
definitely a lot of kickers. Now, you talk about one game. The one game that I remember, I believe he missed one in the Miami game.
Yeah, the December 24th. Yeah,
he missed one in that game. And you know, for me, anytime a kicker is out there in the field, I do hold my breath. Like, I wonder if he's going to make this or not. Because no matter how good these kickers are, they can miss it. You know, now Dan Carpenter was, I remember talking about that last year a little bit more than I wanted to talk about that. Like, man, this is our kicker. He's going to come back to haunt us at some point. And he did on multiple occasions. And so, you know, I'm glad that we got a new kicker. Hopefully he's consistent. That's all I want. Like, just be consistent. I mean, if you can hit a 60-yard field goal, that's totally fine. But just be consistent in the extra points and then on your field goals. And I know it's a little bit harder now with them moving it back. It really is. It's not just a chip shot for these guys anymore.
The news of the day here from One Bills Drive. Well, in the personnel department, add another name to the rapidly expanding Bills personnel department. Brandon Bean's been on the job since last Friday. Another hiring today. They hired Lake Dawson as assistant director of college scouting. He spent the last few years with the Cleveland Browns as a player personnel associate. He was vice president of the Tennessee Titans player personnel, and before that, director of pro personnel in Tennessee. He spent some time with Seattle, assistant director of pro personnel, mm-hmm. and was a pro personnel assistant out there. He played in the NFL 6 years with the Chiefs and the Colts. With his Colts tenure, Colts GM Bill Polian recommended him to get into player personnel because he was a good note taker, believe mm-hmm. it or not. Took good notes. I guess that's an important part of the job. Brandon Bean, who hired him today, issued a statement a couple of moments ago about Lake Dawson and his 23 years of experience. The Bills general manager talking about Lake Dawson said, Lake has worked hard. He's had a heck of a career. He rose to a level of VP of player personnel. He's interviewed for multiple GM positions. To have a guy with his experience and leadership and high character, we talked about that in the interview. What type of player are we looking for? Lake understands that it's the guy in the field, but as assistant college director, we're going to make sure our college scouts are working the background and the character on prospects. That's the quote from Brandon Bean, Bill's general manager, about his new assistant director of college scouting, Lake Dawson. They may even announce a couple of more hirings today or tomorrow in personnel. We talked to Brandon about it the other day. They do have that Blesso meeting coming up next week.
So the
combine meeting. So
that's why he's on it like he is, you know. But once again, the fact that he's able to get these guys away from wherever they're coming from, their prior organizations, at this point of the year, that's a good thing because every team has those meetings coming up, you know. So for them to be able to get these guys over, good hires too. I think good hires, guys that are versatile, it's good for the hires, and then it's good to get them all in for the Blesso meetings.
We're going to hear straight from Brandon Bean tomorrow on the show, right around noon, mm-hmm. right around the top of the
Three
show.
Three times in 1 week.
Isn't that good? He'll be with us tomorrow.
Sheesh.
As soon as we start.
I mean, we went to a point where we didn't get anybody. we couldn't get anybody in this building.
Don't jinx us. Brandon Bean tomorrow, 12 noon on the show. Back with more in a moment, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yes, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and we're minutes away from Reggie Ragland going to join us in studio here to update us on his progress coming back from the knee injury from last August. Injury news from Bills OTA today, day three of the OTA, and the Bills announcing that second-round draft pick Zay Jones sustained an injury on Tuesday during the OTA, did not practice Wednesday and did not practice today. It's being described as a knee sprain. And his status is week to week. Zay Jones, who was impressive in his first few practices, going to miss a little time here, Donald.
Going to miss a little time. And like I said in one of the previous segments, I don't think they should try to rush him back. You know, you need to make sure that knee is good going into training camp. You know, we're not playing football games right now. You know, obviously you want to have your rookie on the field so that he can learn and he can get used to playing at the speed of this game, but you know, it's still May, you know, so they have to be smart with this thing. I would think that they're going to be smart about it. We'll see. They're saying week to week, so maybe we will see him again in the spring. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's just a sprain. Hopefully it's not something that it keeps coming back up as an issue. If that's the case, then, yeah, it will become a bigger deal.
I'm looking at the schedule for the next couple of weeks here. OTAs next week, three of them next week. And then we're at the Memorial Day weekend, and there's a rookie program, no real on-field work. OTAs, four of them, the week of June 5th. And then the mandatory minicamp, June 13th, 14th, 15th. And that is the end of the work until training camp. So let's just say if Zay Jones is out for a couple of weeks, is week to week, 4 weeks is all that's left in this pre-training camp period. I wouldn't be surprised. This is me, speculation. I would not be surprised if you didn't see Zay Jones again until training camp on the field.
I don't care.
I mean, that wouldn't bother me.
It wouldn't bother me either.
Not great, but it's – You said they're not going to rush him back. Why would they rush him back?
Yeah.
Why rush him back to get to the mandatory minicamp in mid-June?
He's
not ready.
If he's not ready, even if he feels like he is ready and they feel like he's ready, still, why rush him back? You know, we're not playing football games right now. You want to make sure that thing is 100% once you get to training camp. That's what counts. You want him to be good in training camp. If you try to rush him back for minicamp and then he has another setback or something crazy happens, then what? Then he misses – You know, you only have a month between really the end of the mini camps and the beginning of training camp, so you want to make sure that thing is good.
They're not going to rush him back. Nah. Why are you cautioning us about that? Why are you worried about that?
I'm not worried about it. I don't think they're going to rush him back.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
They know what they got there. Our Twitter poll deals. No, you know, there's no evidence of rushing people. Well, I don't know. Some people think they rushed Sammy back last year, did they? I don't know.
Who knows? That was in the season, though, right?
Yeah.
In season. It's different in the season. They want to try to get guys back on the field.
Because they want to win.
Right, exactly. But right now, we're not playing football games. It's May.
Our Twitter poll today deals with which unit will improve the most. We've already heard from Rick Dennison, the offensive coordinator. We're going to hear, as the show moves along, from Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator. And we will hear from Danny Crossman, special teams coordinator. But coming up next on the show, after the top of the hour break, stick around for Reggie Ragland. Interested to hear what he has to say about his rehab and you know, how he spent his last year. Hasn't been on the field since, last August 5th. Reggie Ragland, Buffalo's second-round draft pick a year ago, scheduled to join us as soon as the OTA ends moments from now. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by NEPA Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
We've got the update from One Bills Drive. The Bills organized team activity over for the day. 3 days this week, 7 more OTAs to come. Second-round draft pick Zay Jones did not participate today or yesterday. He sustained an injury in the OTA practice on Tuesday, and it's described as a knee sprain. Zay Jones' status is day-to-day. Bills adding more to their personnel department today with the announcement that Lake Dawson has been named the assistant director of college scouting. He comes over after 3 years with the Cleveland Browns as a senior player personnel assistant. Long time for Lake Dawson with the Tennessee Titans. He was vice president of player personnel there and director of pro personnel. Lake Dawson played 6 years in the NFL for the Chiefs and the Indianapolis Colts. Late yesterday, the Bills announced that they hired their director of pro personnel, Malik Boyd, who was a scout for the last several years, began his career with the Indianapolis Colts in 2003. Rookie signing, draft pick signing in Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette, number 4 overall pick, agreed to terms and signed his contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. The 6-foot, 232-pound running back, a tackle-breaking machine during his run at LSU. Hockey, the Pittsburgh Penguins pulled starting goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury after he allowed 4 goals on 9 shots in less than 13 minutes last night. Pittsburgh lost to Ottawa 5-1. Matt Murray replaced Fleury and saw his first action of the playoffs. Pittsburgh lost at 5-1. Ottawa leads the series 2-1. And the next game in that series is tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, the Penguins at the Senators. The Western Conference Finals resume tonight. Anaheim Ducks and the Nashville Predators play 8 p.m. tonight in Nashville. Nashville leads that series 2-1. NBA playoffs. LeBron James and Cleveland open up the Eastern Conference Finals with a big win last night, 117-104 over the Boston Celtics. Game 2 in that series tomorrow night, 8:30 in Boston. In the Western Conference, the Warriors up 2-0 over San Antonio. Game 3 in that series Saturday night in San Antonio. And the Bisons and Chiefs wrap up their series tonight at Coca-Cola Field, 6:05 First pitch in downtown Buffalo. John Murphy, Donald Jones, John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive, and we're joined in studio just off the field from last year's Bills second-round draft pick, linebacker Reggie Ragland. Reggie, thanks for coming by here today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
What does this OTA mean for you? What kind of work are you getting in? What are you able to do these days?
It means a lot. I just got cleared last Thursday, so it's been a week since I got cleared. And right now I'm just out there just doing individuals to get back used to moving around because – moving around doing rehab is different from moving around on the field, so I'm just working my way back in day by day.
Do you feel rusty? You feel like you getting your legs back under you?
I feel real rusty, but as the days went on, I started to get more comfortable, and my knee started to get more comfortable out there. I'm still sore at times, but I'm always be sore because that's what my doctors tell me.
Some of the biggest issue with coming back from any injury is the mental side of things. So, how have they talk to you about attacking that mental side of things?
Just making sure that when we're doing walkthrough, just make sure I'm all up in the hose, just listening to Preston because he's a great role model for me, especially been in the league a few years now. And everything he says, I try to mimic and do behind him as we're going walkthrough. So, but just really just leaning on the older guys like Marcel, Darius, and Zoe that play linebacker with us. So I'm just very thankful to have them guys around me.
You shot out that tweet late last week over the weekend. It was like cleared finally. I mean, it's pretty obvious that was a big hurdle for you to get that kind of medical clearance.
Huh? Oh, yeah, because just being away from your teammates, just watching on the sideline, you really can't do nothing. You just feel like you're alienated, and you just feel like you're not a part of the team. But but once you get back out there, you're just happy to be there, and I'm just thankful because last year, I played at the highest level you could play in college football with Alabama and Coach Saban, and then getting hurt, just watching. When my teammates played last year, it was hurting for me, but it made me realize that God got a plan for me and that I got to go by his rules and on everything. And I know when my chance comes, I'm going to go out there and do what I have to do to be successful.
You think as players we kind of take it for granted, until something like that happens, you realize, like, man, now I got to sit out a full year. I can't play the game I love.
Yeah, sometimes, because you feel like when you get in the groove and you're playing good, and especially with me, my last 2 years when I was at Bama, I finally got to play. And then my first year, I did all right. And then my next year, I came back my senior, and I was up for all these awards. And then my chance coming to the NFL, and then the OGM, Doug Whaley, had me pegged to start. And then you think, okay, I'm a rookie, getting a chance to start. Then that happens, it really brings you back down to life. And ever since then, I've been very thankful for everything.
The day that happened, Reggie, I think it was August 5th last summer, as I look back on last season, that might have been, and there were some downs last season, that might have been one of the worst days. I mean, it was just a whole pall was cast over training camp that day. Certainly, it meant a lot to you, but you had to know that your injury kind of brought the whole place down for a long time, it felt like.
Yeah, it felt like that, especially with me, because at first they would tell me I had a slight tear, so that kind of gave me hope. And then when the doctor called me and told me ACL, and then I was telling some of the older guys, that tour, they were kind of upset because I was just finally starting to get used to playing with them and get used to the speed, and then going up against Richie, that knocked me on my tail a couple of times. But that made me a better player to know I got to lower my pass and everything when I'm out there playing. But, like I said, God got a plan for me, and now that I'm finally working myself back into it, I got to be on my stuff mentally as far as my playbook now with a new coaching staff.
You must have had a pretty good sense that camp was going well for you, right, up until that point, right?
Oh, yeah.
You were getting a lot of praise for your work so far.
Oh, yeah, it was feeling real good just going out there and just working hard for my teammates. That's the main goal for me. That's what I always try to do, go out there and just work hard for my teammates and make sure that I'm knowing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because the coaches last year brought me in, drafted me, for a reason. So I had to come in and make sure I was on my stuff.
Reggie Ragland, Bills linebacker in studio with us. The coaches brought you here for one job, and then through no fault of your own, obviously, the coaching staff changed, and it's a different defense.
Mm-hmm.
What is your fit? What is your role, do you think, in this defense? Have you talked about that with the coaching staff much yet?
They want me to learn Mike since I haven't gotten any rest, but I've just been behind Preston, just watching everything he does. And he's a very smart player, and just watch him, everything he does, because he's doing everything right, everything the coaches asked him to do right now. But, like I said, they want me to be the mic, and I'm just doing everything I can to learn it, because it's different from being in the classroom and learning and then going out there and lining up in your gaps, make sure you're in the 10, 30, or 40.
Right.
It's a whole lot different. But right now I'm just trying to get every detail that I can.
What'd you play at Alabama?
I played Mike.
You played Mike?
Yeah.
So Now you guys played a 4-3 down there, right?
No, we played a 3-4 in Alabama.
How different is that?
It's different. You know, in 3-4, you line up in 30s and just go. Mm-hmm. But in a 4-3, every time somebody moves, you got to go either from a 10 to a 20, sometimes a 40 or 30. So you really got to know what gap that you're in mm-hmm. soundly. So, but it's new for me. But like I said in an interview a while back, I'm just going to do everything I can that the coaches need me to do. If I got to play Will, Sam, or whatever, I want to. Whatever they need me to do, I'm going to do it.
Reggie, can I ask you, because I'm sure many listeners don't know, but what do you mean when you say 10, 20, 30,
40? Oh, it's the alignment of the gap. The nose, well, not the nose, but the center is a 0, then his outside shoulder is a 10, then the guard 20, 30, mm-hmm. as it go on, so on.
So depending on what look you get from the offense, that determines yeah. which gap you're lining up over.
Yes, sir.
And does that determine what your responsibilities are on that particular play?
Sometimes, because most of the time, when you're in a 40, most of the time, pretty much as the mic, I'm be dropping off 3.
Right.
Most of the time, and if I'm in a 10, I either got the back or I got to push out 2 or 3, in which it makes it easy on me. So my Will or the Sam might get hands on number 3, it makes it easier for me. But it all depends at times.
And number 3 is the number 3 receiver.
No, yeah, number 3 receiver on the inside, not right. the outside. We can't start 1, 2, 3 from the
right.
outside
right.
in.
Did you think last year's defense was difficult? Was it complex?
No, not really. I was picking it up. I was picking it up, especially when you're a rookie, you get the extra meeting time. So that really helps out a lot. And, like, now, I'm picking it up. Yeah. But, like I said, it's different. Because actually last year I was getting out there to go through it, mess it up. Because like a lot of the stuff you got to mess up to get it right. And right now, I know once I get my chance to get back out there, I'm going to probably mess a few things up. But as I get on, I got to make sure I got to make the right corrections, and I'm going to get it right.
Now, in this defense – I remember talking to Bart Scott about when he played in Rex Ryan's defense when he first came in the league in Baltimore, and he was the guy that had to really just take on the fullback, and it freed up Ray Lewis. It mm-hmm. allowed him to kind of just run free and make the tackles. In this defense, you feel like you'll be able to, at the mic position, you'll be able to make plays like that? Or?
I feel like I can. I feel like the coach is going to put us in the right position to be successful, mm-hmm. and I feel like I can. The type of player, I feel like I can be one day, but I got to learn from older guys like Preston mm-hmm. and Lorenzo and Jerry and all them guys. I know I can do it once I get my feet back up under me first.
Yeah.
But I know once I get back out there, I can do it. Just got to give me opportunity.
What about playing out the outside linebackers? Have you ever had the responsibility of, like, dropping back in the coverage?
I've never played outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Never. I've always played inside. But, like I said, the coach need me to do that.
Yeah.
I can always learn and do
yeah.
it.
You mentioned Preston a couple of times, and it reminds me of how – you mentioned how smart he is. He's a coach's son, Preston, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He plays like it and acts like it too, right?
Yeah.
His approach to the game and study of the defense.
Oh, yeah, he's very smart. He's very quiet, but don't let the quietness fool you sometimes. But, yeah, the way he comes in every day, he handles himself well. He comes in, coach asks him questions, he knows it right there, right back and forth, and I know when I'm out there on the field just watching, when he comes out the field, I'm always asking him questions about everything we do,
yeah.
and that's I know that's how it got to be for me right now, asking questions from when I was on one of our smartest linebackers and players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
We're with Reggie Ragland, Bills linebacker, as he works his way back from the knee injury last year. Hey, Reggie, you mentioned how being cleared, medically cleared to practice and do what you're doing now, some of the individual work was a big hurdle for you to cross. What do you think the next hurdle is? What are you looking forward to doing next that would, you know, further move you along the path to coming back?
Just really keep getting in shape. Just keep toning my body. Just keep making sure I get to my playing weight. Right now, I'm 253, and I want to get to 245 when I first came into college. I know that'll help me out with my injury and as a player on the field. But just really keep getting in shape and just keep learning the playbook and keep asking coaches questions that I need to ask. And if the coach can answer, I know I can ask some of the players on the team about certain things.
Is it easy to – I mean, because you're not out there running around playing football, you know, it's different – to be in running shape and things like that, but then football shape is totally different.
Oh, football shape is totally different.
How hard is that going to be once you get to training camp?
I know I'm going to get back in Alabama heat.
Yeah.
and just really just focus on my mental side. I know when I'm back at home, that 90 degree heat
mm-hmm.
plus the heat index, so it really helps me out my mental state and really get in shape, because it really put pressure on my body and makes me really tired than I normally am. So I'm going to do that, and then just really just keep grinding.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure I write my notes down and study and just keep being the player I know I can be one day.
Do you have a timetable in mind? Like you're cleared, you're doing the individual work. Do you get into teamwork maybe at camp, training camp, or even before that? Do you think
right now, the key is for me is the work my way back in and just see how I go week by week. But for me, I know training camp is the when I go full tilt with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Full tilt.
You got to be looking forward to that based on what happened last year at camp, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm just biting it a bit to get back out there with my teammates and just really get them moving around and thumping.
The way you just reacted, I'm sure, you know, the training staff will probably say, like, listen, we want you to go out there and play full go, but at the same time, we need you to be smart. Because you're going to go out there, like, excited, like, I'm finally back on the field. But, you know, you still have something that you want to pay attention to, but at the same time, you don't want to have to think about your knee.
Right.
So how do you kind of balance that emotion of finally being back, but also making sure you don't, you know, re-injure yourself?
Just make sure I keep calm and, yeah. and don't blow my water. Yeah. Just be smart. Cause at the end of the day, I know I got to make sure my legs up under me.
Mm-hmm.
And just got to be smart about everything that I do. I know once I get back out there, I'm going to be ready to fly around.
Yeah,
I know I'm going to have some MEs and some misassignments at first. I know that. But like yeah, I said, coach, just let me – hey, I'm just ready to get back to play.
Yeah.
Just ready. It's just hard. Because coming from, like I said, playing from Bama, then coming in – playing with the big boys, big dogs, the National Football League. Somebody as a kid you dream about, yeah. And like I got drafted, like only few do, less than 1% of the world, yeah. And I'm just thankful for this whole opportunity. And like knowing me, I'm very hyper as a person, so football helps calm me down a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm just ready to get back out there and start playing.
And that old school music that you
I love
listen to. You listened to it last week in the bar or 2 weeks ago in the barbershop.
Yeah, oh I love it. If you ever catch me on my Instagram, every morning I'm playing something old school.
What's old school? Give me an example.
Like the OJs.
Oh yeah.
Temptations sometimes, go back to 90s music, like Teddy Riley and all them guys. It's like old, I love older music. I like the vibe.
Yeah.
And I got music nowadays, I need to turn up too.
Yeah.
But most part like I'm always just chilling.
Marcel Darius is in the old school.
Marcel, oh yeah, we both went to Alabama. We
no,
both
from Alabama. Where does that come from, though? Is that?
Oh, I think it's just the culture of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know my parents grew up around that, mm-hmm. just like going to the old barbecues, especially being around older people.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom's them age. Like my mom is a beautiful lady, but if mm-hmm. you look at her, you couldn't tell the age that she is. And
just being around
all of them, just listen to the music they listen to, then. I just really, like, as how I was as a kid growing up, like, I always hung around my older brothers, went everywhere with them. And I hung out with kids my age, but mm-hmm. I really hung around my brothers when I was a kid because I'm the youngest of seven.
Oh,
I got five brothers and one sister.
Mm-hmm.
So just being around them and then being around my dad a lot, just listen to music they listen to. I really caught on to that.
I remember when I was here playing, Stevie Johnson and I would try to get them to change the music on game day to, like, what we wanted to listen to.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
probably obscene.
It wasn't obscene. It wasn't that bad. They have edited versions of everything. But you ever try to get them, like, can y'all play some old jams?
I can't do that right now. I gotta earn that.
I gotta earn that.
See, you can learn from listening to your elders once in a while.
Oh.
About music and everything?
Always.
Yeah. Hey, Reggie, thanks. We root for you. We're hoping you
what?
No, we're hoping you get out there soon. And you're obviously it's good that you cleared that hurdle. And and this is one last question, I guess. A lot of people, not to put pressure on you, but look at you as a reason why the Bills will be better on defense this year. Do you feel that? Do you appreciate that, you know, there's a little bit riding on your recovery and your ability to play this year?
I really don't try to worry about pressure too much. I know at the end of the day, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I know we have a good chance of being successful, but like I said earlier, whatever the coaches need me to do to get on the field and to help the team out, that's what I do.
Great. Thanks, Reggie.
Thank you.
Reggie Ragland joining us in studio. Bills linebacker, the coordinator spoke today, including defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, and he answered questions from the media this morning before the OTA practice today, and he started out talking about the defensive end position and where it stands right now.
We've got some young guys that are competing for some playing time, and that's what this time of the year is all about, you know, trying to identify some of your depth along with your starters. And we got some guys that are competing, and hopefully they'll come along and really improve and give us a chance when we get to training camp. But so far, so good.
What's your kind of philosophy with respect to rotation? I mean, some defensive coaches like to roll those guys an awful lot up front. Some people like to lean on their starters a little bit more. Just kind of curious as to how you see it with snap counts and things like that.
We'd like to have a rotational system, and a lot of it will depend on, you know, the depth that we have and what happens when our starting four are off the field. But ideally, we'd like to be able to have a rotation system so we can have fresh guys on the field, especially in those situations where you want to rush the passer.
Hey, Leslie, this team has been a 3-4 team last year with Rex, a little bit of a hybrid, I guess. But is this person, the personnel that you've seen so far, do you feel like it is perhaps better suited to a 4-3 that you guys might be have here, that you're going to have here, as opposed to what they tried to mishmash through last year?
Well, we're implementing a 4-3 scheme, and the guys have really bought into that, and that's what we're practicing, and that's what we're looking forward to. That's what Sean is most familiar with in his experience in Carolina and our experience together in Philadelphia, and that's what we brought to Buffalo as well, what we're both most comfortable with, and we think it fits our players well.
When you saw this roster, though, I mean, did you notice it right away? This team belongs in the 4-3. Was that kind of your impression when you went through the film and watched what happened?
No, we had a system that we talked about prior to getting here, and it was based on 4-3, not anything that has happened here in the past. And we tried to really put that conceptually together, and we feel pretty good about the direction that it's going.
How do you feel like these linebackers fit into that 4-3 scheme?
You know, with the guys that we have, you know, we don't have Reggie right now, because, you know, he's on a limited basis, but with Preston, with Ramon, with Lorenzo, with what we're doing with him and some of the other young guys we just drafted, we think our linebackers fit our scheme. And that's the way we kind of drafted the two picks that we did take in this year's draft with 4-3 in mind. And the guys that are on the roster, with what we've done up to this point, they fit the system.
Is there potentially room for both Reggie and Preston in the starting lineup in this defense?
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, you got three backers on the field, and we hope that, you know, we'll try to mesh the right three in our 4-3 scheme, and maybe that'll be Lorenzo and Preston together, or maybe it'll be a different configuration. But you always want to get your 11 best on the field, and, you know, I'm believing that those guys will be a part of our best 11.
Initial thoughts on watching Trey White?
You know, we spent a lot of work, you know, prior to the draft just getting familiar with him, both as a player and as a person, and he hasn't disappointed once he's gotten into our building. He's an outstanding young man and a very, very good football player, and obviously we feel that way drafting him with our first pick in 2017. So we're very pleased that he's a part of our team.
Leslie, how critical is signing of Micah Hyde? This is a guy that could probably be your quarterback back there. How critical was that piece to add in the defense?
Well, Micah had a very good career in Green Bay. You know, he had a ton of ball production. So to add him to our roster is a big coup for us. We think he has a chance to really make a difference as far as taking the ball away. And then I'm sure Danny will talk about this when he gets to special teams, his punt return ability as well. So he's a versatile guy in the secondary. You know, he can tackle, but he can cover good tight ends, good running backs. You know, he's just a very versatile player who has provided great production with the ball. So that was a big get for us this offseason.
Leslie, when you, knowing that you're looking forward and not looking back, but when you got here, I mean, the past 2 years under Rex Ryan, there was public criticism coming out of that locker room. There was people complaining. There were factions. How did you lay down the law? How did you and Sean lay down the law or try to address what happened over the past 2 years and saying that's unacceptable?
I think we've, you know, come in with the approach, this is 2017 and history is history. You know, we are looking forward to the 2017 Buffalo Bills team, and we really haven't dwelled on anything that's happened in the past. Our focus has really been on the group of guys that are here right now, and that's been our approach. You know, we've set what we think are going to be our standards for this team on defense. And we've talked to them about how we want to achieve our goals on defense. We really haven't reflected back on any part of the past, whether it's 1966, 2002, or 2015. That hasn't been a part of our conversation. It's all about the 2017 Bills.
How do you go about addressing discipline, communication, technique-type issues when you're kind of limited in what you can do in these spring practices in terms of contact and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some limitations. You know, when you're in the phase one of the offseason program, I mean, you really can't do very much from a meeting standpoint, only communicating with the players and can't, you know, really go outside or do anything like that. So then when you get to phase two, you can go outside, but you can't line up against an opponent or you can't even line up across one another as players. So it's there are some limitations, but we've been able to really work within the rules to get some things accomplished that we needed to get accomplished. And I think I told our guys today, I really felt like based on the limitations and what we were able to get achieved in phase one and phase two, it has prepared us to have a good phase three, which is our 10 OTA practices. So the guys have adapted well. The coaches have done a good job of instituting the things we wanted to get across to our players from a communication standpoint, which is almost all you can do in phase one and phase two is more communication. You can hardly go through some of the fundamentals. But our guys, they've put a lot of time in on their own to prepare for this phase where we can actually line up against an offense, go out and execute some of the things we're trying to do on defense. So credit to our players for spending some time on their own going through the playbook and coming prepared for phase three.
What's been your evaluation of Marcel Darius as a player?
In the short time we've been here and having a chance to go back and look at some of his tape, you know, he's an impressive football player for sure. And with what we've been doing this offseason, he's really bought into everything we were asking him to do. He's been attending every meeting, every practice. I think he's only missed maybe once, if that. He's been terrific in what we've asked him to do. And this time of the year, you're limited in some things that you can do, as we talked about a moment ago. But for what we've asked Marcel to do, he's been terrific.
Where do you best see Kevon Seymour fitting?
We're going to try him at both, and we're going to try to make the determination over time. We're going to take a look at him in the OTAs at both inside and outside and just, you know, make a determination as we go forward. And we'll do the same thing once we get to training camp. You know, we've talked to our guys about the depth chart this time of the year is very fluid. You know, you don't get caught up in the depth chart. We want to be able to take a look at guys in different positions and try to evaluate them. And once we get to shoulder pads where we can actually – you know, do some things that you're going to be doing in ball games, then we'll get a clearer picture of what direction we want to go. But he'll get a chance to work both inside and outside.
Last week, Sean had mentioned the learning curve amongst the coaches trying to get to know each other this time of year. Rick just mentioned that, you know, you and he have worked hand in hand. Hey, if I need a look, can you do this for me? Can you give me a little extra time? You know, where do you see things right now? How is that coming along? Is there something that maybe has surprised you?
I don't know about surprise. You know, Rick is a great guy to work with, and Sean has given us parameters to work within that are, you know, very familiar. I don't think there have been anything that really surprised me or caught me off guard at this point. Now, that being said, we've only had 2 days of work, so we got some other days ahead of us. But up to this point, it's been about what you would expect.
In Carolina, Sean would use three safeties at times, sort of like a – big nickel, I guess you would call it. How much do you plan to implement that, and how exactly can that give you an advantage, I guess?
Well, some of that depends on your personnel. You know, you want to take a look and see if you have the personnel that can allow you to play a big nickel front or coverage based on who you have playing those positions. So we'll see as we go along, you know, how the pieces fit, and then we'll make a determination, you know, what's best for us here in Buffalo.
Leslie Frazier, Bills defensive coordinator, meeting with the media earlier today before the OTA session today. It is John Murphy and Donald Jones from One Bills Drive. And Reggie Ragland, who was with us in studio live a couple of minutes ago, said a lot of interesting things, Donald. But he clearly, I got the sense from listening and talking to Reggie here that he really cannot wait to get back. I mean, he was almost speechless when I asked him about, you know, what's to come and what does he expect it'll be like. And about the pressure. I don't know if it's pressure on him, but – look, every time we talk about how, and this goes to our Twitter poll, every time we talk about what his or how this defense might improve, eventually, very quickly, you get to Reggie Ragland and what his addition might mean to this defense.
Yeah, because of really how highly touted he was coming, even though he was a second round draft pick last year. You know, he could have been a first round pick last year. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a good linebacker coming out of Alabama, and then how good he was in camp before he got hurt. You know, it really, people were excited about what he was doing in camp up to that moment, you know. So when you look at it, it's like, man, we hope we can get Reggie back. And then you look at how bad the defense really was last year. It's like, we need Reggie out there. I don't know if he'll be 100% even when he gets back on the field. They usually say it takes, you know, the second year off of an ACL injury before you're 100%. But I think Reggie Ragland, if he can get back out there and give us something, I think that would be good.
Got a tweet from 716. Is Reggie 100% or is he hobbled a bit? I don't know what percentage to put on it. He was cleared to participate in practice. As he said, he's been doing individual work. He is not in there in the team drills, which – and, you know, we talk about Zay Jones, how he doesn't need to be out there. Reggie doesn't need to be, you know, extending himself too much right now either.
Right. You got to be smart about these guys right now, you know. I keep saying it's a marathon. It really is. It's a long, long year. It's a long season, you know. And so right now, when guys are just out here practicing, here's the thing. You want to get the guys that are going to be on the field on Sundays, you want those guys to get reps. But if they're dealing with injuries, there's no reason to have them out there right now because you need those guys once you get to training camp, you know. So right now, get all of the younger guys reps, all of the rookies, like, get those guys the reps so that you can see if this person can help us out or not. You know, we know that this person is going to be a starter. We know that. In our minds, we know that. Unless he just comes out and is terrible, we know he's going to be a starter. So we need to get a look at this kid because we need good depth at this position as well.
Ragland also talked about how he is used in this defense, and I want to pick up on that with you when we come back after the break here, mm-hmm. Donald. In particular, I'm still trying to get my arms around what the linebacking corps is going to look
Me
like.
Too.
All right,
Me
we'll
too.
Talk about that in just a minute. You're welcome to join us. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Got a Twitter poll up about which unit will improve the most this year. All of that, plus some NFL discussion when we return. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, on what's turned into an eventful day here at One Bills Drive. The news just announced a moment ago that the Bills have signed their first-round draft pick, Tre'Davious White, agreeing to terms and signing a contract after a couple of days, 3 days of organized team activity. Tre'Davious White, Buffalo's first-round draft pick, the cornerback, is now officially a Buffalo Bill. He went to the podium a moment ago and talked to the media. Oh, not ready yet. So we'll hear that soon.
You know, happy for him, you know.
Yeah.
You can only be happy for him. He gets drafted. Then he has a baby, like, in the same weekend, which is, like, the most amazing weekend of your life. Your first child, and you get drafted into the NFL, which is, like, your dream. And then now he gets to sign his contract, and he'll have a little money coming towards him. So it's a good thing, man. I'm happy for him.
We are told that the second-round pick, Zay Jones, is also set to sign his contract. I would imagine, you know, that's a big deal for Zay Jones, and obviously tempered a little bit by the news today that Zay Jones suffered a knee injury in practice a couple of days ago, reported knee injury, and he's going to be week-to-week over the next few weeks. So, it's all going down now here at One Bills Drive. Chris Brown's going to be here with us at 2 o'clock to kind of sort through some of the news of the day. The Bills have a new personnel man. They have their first round draft pick and their second round draft pick under contract. And it's an interesting day here. We're going to try to keep on top of it as it happens. Lake Dawson hired as the Bills' new assistant director of college scouting. That was an announcement earlier today. Zay Jones sustained an injury in practice on Tuesday. And going to hear from Tyrod Taylor as well. All right, we're talking about Reggie Ragland, who joined us in studio. He mentioned that he is working right now as the backup Mike linebacker, middle linebacker, behind Preston Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Look, and I'm not trying to accelerate things because, you know, obviously they're going to take it easy with Reggie Ragland's knee injury. But at some point, are we really looking at Reggie Ragland as a backup on this Buffalo defense, or is there another shoe to drop here at some point, Donald? What do you think?
I have no clue. You know, Reggie, I know, you know, Coach McDermott likes to move guys around. Now, Reggie said to us he's never played – he said he'll do anything that they ask him to do, but he's never played outside linebacker, you know. And so he's never really had to drop out into coverage or do anything that they do on the outside. Preston, we know, is not the most athletic guy. He's very smart. He's a good Mike linebacker. He's a good middle linebacker, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen in there, you know. Like, what do you do? Both of these guys, do they both end up on the field together? Can they both play on the field together? I don't know. If neither one of them plays outside linebacker,
Preston,
I don't know what happens.
Outside?
I don't think Preston can play outside, not even on the strong side. I just don't see him. He's not the most athletic linebacker. I don't see him playing outside linebacker. So what do you do? I think it depends on really the maturation process of Reggie in this defense, you know, and how he really feels and how he looks once we get to training camp. If we get to training camp and Reggie looks like he's 100% and he's flying around and making plays in practice, and then he gets into games and he's making plays in games, then they really have a decision that they have to make at, you know, if one is going to just be a backup or really if one would even be here.
Yeah. And they don't have to make a decision now, but it definitely bears watching as we move through the springtime practices and eventually into training camp or, you know, in late July. And you know, maybe there, you know, look, there's no rush. As we said, it doesn't appear that they're ready to throw Reggie Ragland into the fray right away, which mm-hmm. is fine. We've seen Preston Brown play inside linebacker for the most part in a couple of different defenses through his first couple of years in the league. And they'll sort this out. As they line up now, and we've watched them at practice today, they've got Ramon Humber at the Will linebacker spot. I don't know if that will stay. I don't know if that's that seems to be the best option now, but maybe another move to make here?
I think it's right now it's the best option for them. You know, they draft the guys later in the draft, and they want to see how they progress. But I think there still can be moves to be made. There are linebackers out there on the street, so they might bring another one in. We'll see about that. Right now, Ramon Humber is the weak side starting linebacker, you know. And so, who knows? It might be a Lorenzo Alexander type of year for Ramon, you know, a guy who's played special teams who now is in the right scheme, and it works for him, and he's making plays out there. I don't know. We'll see. But even Leslie Frazier in his press conference talked about Ramon Humber, and when he talked about the 11 best guys on the field, he named Ramon Humber in there, you know. Mm-hmm. So they look at Ramon Humber right now as one of their guys moving forward.
And the thing you have to be conscious of, and I know most people are, they typically, I mean, you talk about a base defense, but nowadays base defense can sometimes be a nickel defense.
Oh,
so
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe only we'll have two linebackers, you know, exactly. Alexander and Preston and or Reggie on the field at once.
Right.
Humber would be off and an extra defensive back in there.
It really depends on the team that you're playing. You know, in today's football, with teams doing so many different things on offense, you play a team like the Bills, your base defense is going to be three linebackers, you know, because you need size in there to stop the run. You play against a team like, let's just say, the Patriots, and your base defense might be a nickel. It might be somebody like a Micah Hyde or another safety coming down in the box and having to cover and help out in the run responsibilities as well. Similar to what they did with Aaron Williams, you know, he would come down and help out in the run
right.
game as well. So, you know, it really just depends on the team that you're playing, and that's why it's good to have guys that are versatile, that can do more than one thing.
Things happening quickly out here on One Bills Drive today. You're welcome to join us to discuss. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We got lines open right now. You may want to participate via Twitter and take part in our Twitter poll. Which unit will improve the most from last year to this year? And right now, our Twitter poll shows most of you feel the improvement will come on the defensive side of the ball. 75% say the defense will improve the most from last year. 18% say the offense. 7%, that's all, say special teams will improve the most from last year to this year. Give us a call on that, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The defense should improve by the addition of the first-round draft pick, Tre'Davious White, mm-hmm. who signed his contract today and stepped to the podium a couple of minutes ago over in the media room to discuss. Here is Tre'Davious White.
Right now, I feel like it hasn't hit home yet, but, you know, whenever it hits, I know, you know, my life changed. I'm able to do some things, you know, for my mom that, you know, typically a normal guy wouldn't be able to do. And, you know, just coming from the background I come from, that's a big deal. And I'm very proud of myself.
Have you thought about what you're going to buy your mom? You mentioned your mom. Have you thought about maybe the first big purchase for her?
Honestly, you know, my mom, she's been renting homes my whole life. She's never for once had a mortgage or, you know, paid to buy. It was always rent. So I feel like, you know, my duty is to, you know, get her in a comfortable situation where she can call something hers, her own. So, And I feel like that's my job as her child. And I feel like, you know, I owe that to her for all the sacrifice she's made for, you know, my sisters. I mean, my little sister and my two brothers and I.
How is the first week of OTAs gone? You had the rookie mini camp. Uh-huh. Now you're in with the vets. It probably speeds up a uh-huh. notches. Just how has the week gone for you?
I can say this. You know, the first day when I got in with the first group, I can tell you it was like a blur, like flash. Like I'm like. But now, you know, after I got a couple reps and a couple sets, I'm comfortable, and I feel like I'm comfortable, and I'm knowing what I'm doing now. I know what my help is. I know what some of the linebackers are doing. I know what the nickel and the safeties are doing. So if I feel like I continue on that road, just knowing what everybody else does on the field, that'll make my job so much more easier.
How have Kevon and Ronald been in terms of just giving you tips, pointers, things like that?
Man, I couldn't ask for better. Those guys been 100% supportive. You know, Kevon and Ronald, I talk to those guys. You know, we talk after every rep. We want to know, you know, what each other are thinking and what we see and what guys are giving us on the field. So, you know, when the other guy goes on the field, you know, it'll be an easier task.
That is Tre'Davious White, Buffalo's first-round draft pick, just signed his contract today, met the media moments ago. That smile is plastered on his face. All right, good for him. Great sentiment to build his mother or to buy his mother a house. To own as opposed to rent. He talked about that. Happy guy. It is a life-changing experience. I mean, you get kind of jaded if you're around it a little bit and say, this guy's got to play, this guy's got to perform. It changes lives, the money and the opportunity that they get
it
here.
Does.
It's pretty cool.
And when you come from some of these areas that some of these guys come from, unless you come from that type of environment, you just don't understand the things that these guys have seen, the things that these guys have done, and they've been playing this game since a kid, you know, since 6, 7 years old and dreaming about, man, one day I'm going to be able to make millions of dollars playing the game that I love to play. You know, I'm going to be able to make money and play the game that I love to play that I've been playing since, you know, since I was a kid. And so when you see that dream come true because you've worked hard, you see that dream come true and now you can actually, it comes to fruition and you can do the things that you've always said that you wanted to do, whether it's for your mom or whether it's for whoever took care of you. And you feel like you owe something to them, which, you know, sometimes you got to kind of relax. You don't owe that person anything, but, you know, you want to do those things for that person. It's just a great thing. And to see him have that smile just plastered on his face like that is a great thing for me. I'm just happy for him.
Me too. When you sign a contract like Tre'Davious today, signed his contract, obviously a signing bonus involved. You signed a couple of contracts with some bonuses. Do they plunk the check down right next to you as soon as you sign, or how does that work? Is it direct deposit? It would be more fun to get the check, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's more fun to get the check, you know, because typically guys will you'll get the check. I got a check. You'll get the check, and now his check could be a lot bigger than my check was. And so, I mean, guys will take pictures of the check and say, this is my first NFL check. You know, like, look at this. Like, I got this amount of money, and hopefully you'll keep on getting bonuses, you know, get another bonus, get a bonus. That's what we're talking about playing for. You, I mean, yeah, you play to love the game, I mean, because you love the game, but ultimately guys want to make money too, and so, you know, they will. I don't know for those guys if they just clunk down a check right away or if it's like, you know, the next day or whatever it is, but he will get that check here in the next couple of days, and it'd be like, wow. Like, I can't imagine.
Bonus
I can,
check.
Yeah, a bonus
lump
check.
Sum, right?
Like, look at all these zeros in my check.
I don't think I've ever had that experience.
Yeah, look how many commas are in my check.
All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back, talk about all of this, and you're welcome to join us. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Tre'Davious White agrees to terms, signs his contract. We think Zay Jones is going to as well. Zay Jones out on a week-to-week basis with a knee injury. Bills have at least one new personnel guy in the fold. A lot going on here at One Bills Drive. Come on back and we'll discuss. John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Show goes on as the news goes on here from One Bills Drive. To recap, let's recap. Tre'Davious White is a Buffalo Bill, signed his contract today, the 27th overall pick. Just met the media. You heard some of that sound a little bit ago. Indications are that Zay Jones, Buffalo's second-round pick, is going to sign his contract today. We may hear some comments from him. He may also be ready to talk about the injury that has kept him out of the OTAs for the last 2 days. It's been described as a knee sprain. His condition is said to be week to week. The Bills added another member to their personnel department today, Lake Dawson, assistant director of college scouting. Plus day three of the OTAs. What did I miss, Donald? Everything's going on around here today.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like this morning it was like, is there anything going on
right
around here today? And then all of a sudden it was
happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
And we're going to talk more about it in the final hour of the show. Chris Brown will be here to make sense of it all. Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com. We'll hear from Tyrod Taylor, who just wrapped up the first week of OTAs. We'll hear what the quarterback thinks of how the team looks at practice. Plus, we'd love to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. Another hour to go. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Well, we're back here on the John Murphy Show. Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. I'm scheduled to be a guest here.
Yeah.
In with Donald Jones as we await Murph's return. Were you out there? Did you get a chance to watch any of the OTAs today?
I watched like the individual portion of it, and then I watched the just a little bit of teams and then the special teams. I feel like they do a lot more special teams now. I'm like, come on, I want to see some team periods.
I will say that there is more of that, but I think part of that, and we got a chance to talk to Danny Crossman today, is there has been a lot of turnover there with the core special teamers, and I even asked him about that because it was you think about the last couple of years, Chris Hogan not here anymore, Marcus Easley not here anymore, Corey Graham not here anymore.
Yeah.
And, yes, you've got Colt Anderson still in the fold. Ramon Humber came in last year, played a big role. Lorenzo Alexander came in last year, played a big role. But there's a turnover there that I think Danny Crossman's got to try to nail down and figure out. And I wonder if what we're seeing out there in the practice setting is a byproduct of that. Because, yeah, I agree with you. I think there is more time being spent on special teams right now. Obviously, the news of the hour is Tre'Davious White signing his contract as a first-round draft choice. So,
and he's a guy who has played some special teams in college as well in the return game. And as I go out there and watch, you do see him catching punts. And
yeah, it's basically Brandon Tate, Tre'Davious White, and Walt Powell is still back there and in the mix too as a punt return candidate. So, and Micah Hyde.
Right.
Micah Hyde is back there also. Yeah. He had some return experience in Green Bay, and Danny Crossman said today he's certainly going to be part of the mix. Hey, Murph, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. Hey,
welcome back to your show.
Good to be back on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. You're talking about Tre'Davious. I don't know if Donald and I were mentioning it. Very rarely do you see a guy just beamingly happy at signing their contract as Tre'Davious appeared to be today. It was just kind of heartwarming to me to see that.
And I think, you know, some of us know his personal background a little bit. I mean, his mom worked a lot. I mean, two jobs for a period of time, has never owned a home. She's rented her whole life. And, you know, he was addressing that. He goes, I think it's time for my mom to have a mortgage, or heck, maybe not even a mortgage, just buy the thing outright for her down there in Louisiana. So I don't expect his family to want to move too far. It seems like they're part of a very tight-knit community, but the house on the hill is probably in the cards for Mom White.
Did you guys talk about Tre'Davious on the field first 3 days? Or
not yet.
Not yet.
Because I think he's been impressive, you know, don't you? He fits in. He's longer, I think.
He doesn't look out of place, I'll say that.
He's longer than I thought, too, when you get a look at his arms and his, you know, his legs. He just seems like a long, kind of almost prototypical 21st century cornerback in the NFL.
A tall 5'11", if you will.
Yeah, he's a tall 5'11", yes, I would say
tall
that.
Tall 5'11". No, he definitely doesn't look out of place. You know, he looks like he's fitting in this defense. He's picking up the schemes well. And then when you watch him just in individual drills and everything, you see how good he – when people talk about him and being – you know, he was one of the top corners. He was drafted in the first round, but you can see that on the field. He looks fluid in and out of his breaks, just like a wide receiver. It doesn't look like he's going to have any issues.
His feet are fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no debate about his feet. He's got NFL feet for that position. And it's interesting because I was watching the other day with our alumni director, Marlon Kerner, who used to be a cornerback mm-hmm. and a pretty good one. And I was talking to him because I saw Coach Gil Bird. They're doing a much different technique than were under previous coaches. They're doing a stutter step, mm-hmm. then a pedal, then a flip, which is different. And there's a lot at work there. But
what's that mean, Chris?
Well, as they initiate their drop back, instead of going into a full-blown back pedal right away,
there's a little stutter.
They're stuttering their steps, you know, 1 foot to the other, rapid fire. Kind of like the new running man now, you know.
Okay.
So stutter those things.
Your kids put you up on that?
You know, I keep up.
Okay, all right.
So they're stuttering their steps just for about five or six steps, and then they get into their pedal. Now, I'm not a coach. I don't know why that's the approach that Coach Bird is taking, but it's not easy. It's a major shift for a cornerback to take to that if they haven't done it before.
Right.
I don't know if White's done it before. I didn't get to ask him today, but he's taken to it pretty quickly.
You know, I had a chance to speak to Marlon today. We were watching the corners, and he talked about Ronald Darby and how it fits Ronald Darby's game a lot better than the technique that they did last year. You know, so this I don't know if Tre'Davious did any of this in college, but you know, I think it's more when they do that stutter, it's about being patient. You know, because as a wide receiver, you know, I'm going to do moves to try to get off the line of scrimmage. And they don't want you to go for that first move. So you're stuttering. And then after I get them to my first move, typically that second move, I'm going for it, you know. And so that's when you take off into your full back pedal.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com in studio with us for a couple of minutes. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550 or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. I want to get your impressions of OTAs, and there's a lot going on around here today, Chris. We'll get to some of that.
Yeah, big news day, yeah.
Yeah. Zay Jones, before we get to his injury, Donald, I think it was yesterday, Donald, mm-hmm. did we talk about him and just how fluid he looks out on the field, how he looks like he belongs as well. He seemed to have a pretty good thing going on through the rookie weekend minicamp and the first day of OTAs anyway.
Very natural. Mm-hmm. We got a chance to talk to Tyrod after practice about him, even though he hasn't practiced Wednesday or Thursday this week. He did practice on Tuesday and obviously had a full rookie minicamp. He just looks very fluid. Everything is smooth. The word you hear from everybody that watches him, the first word out of their mouth is smooth. He's a very smooth route runner. There's nothing choppy to his game at all. And I think he's got an NFL body. He's even more broad-shouldered than I remembered him at the Senior Bowl.
Hmm.
We're seeing him not in pads now. I saw him in pads at the Senior Bowl, and it was kind of hard to discern – you know, what his true body structure was underneath the pads. But without them on, you can see. I mean, he's broad-shouldered. I think, you know, he's not a giant receiver, but he's 6'1", and he's got a good frame on his body. He's got an NFL body, I guess is what I'm saying already, in my opinion. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to handle the more physical corners in the NFL and battle for passes and not get boxed out of plays because of that.
What about the injury? What do you know about it?
Sprained knee. We don't know the grade, but considering the fact that he's listed as week to week by the team, you know, I think that's an indication that it's no small injury. I don't think it's a major injury. It's probably somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a doctor, and since we didn't get a grade on it from the team, I'm not going to speculate. But here's the good news. The good news is there's no hurry to rush him back onto the field.
Right.
It's May. You've got another 2 weeks of OTAs. Even if he misses all of that, I would say there's a very good chance he's participating in mandatory minicamp.
Really?
He can get – yeah, I mean, that's a month away. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking –
It ends a month from today, mm-hmm. so a little bit
It's a month away.
Time. Yeah.
So, you know, week to week, you would hope that it's a couple of weeks. He can kind of work rehab in 3 weeks. And maybe get a little bit of work in mandatory minicamp in June. I think that would be, you know, the best case scenario probably.
Chris Brown is with us. Chris, I mentioned Donald a couple of times. So through the weekend and even a little bit I saw today, I'm impressed with Deion Dawkins. And I think in general, there you have to be pretty impressed. They play him at left tackle on a regular basis through this first week of workouts. Who was it, Cordy Glenn, on our show yesterday talking about quick feet? There's a lot to like about Deion Dawkins, I think, so far.
I think his physical skill set, there is absolutely a lot to like there. I found an interesting thing that happened on the field today It was one of the first plays during team, and it was run game stuff, and the line was down blocking to their right. Dawkins cut Kyle Williams. Now,
how did Kyle handle that?
It didn't go well. And he was pointing at him and yelling at him.
Oh, I missed
and
this.
Telling him, you can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Not in this setting. You know, you've got rookies that are eager to prove themselves. They want to go all out. And, you know, you can't cut block a 12-year veteran and expect not to see any retribution. So, you know, he went low. He wasn't trying to hit Kyle, but Kyle's watching the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and he's coming from the backside. So it was unintentional in every sense of the word. But Kyle's pointing at him, and then he told Ryan Groy, you better teach the rookie how he's got to operate and practice out here.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
So,
I can't do anything but laugh.
So man, that's, you know, but all that being said, definitely has the physical skill set to play at this level. Tackle, left tackle, I don't know. It's been a little bit of a mixed bag with him this week. He's had some good plays. He's had some not so good plays. In his defense, he's going against Jerry Hughes.
Right.
You know, a guy with back-to-back. Jerry blew his doors off a couple of times earlier in the week. He did better today, so hopefully he's kind of learning as he goes here. We'll have a feature on him over the weekend, Deion Dawkins. You know, get some comment from him and give fans a chance to get a feel for how things are coming along for him.
We're with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. So we've gone through the first three picks. It's only 3 days of OTAs, but who else has been a standout to your mind, Chris? What have you seen that you've liked so far?
I've liked some of the things we've seen from Nick O'Leary in the passing game. I think he looks ready to take the next step. And really, when you think about it, you know, that second tight end role is there for the taking. He's been on the roster pretty much more than anybody else that could fill that role. So you would think that he's the odds-on favorite. He's currently running as the second tight end. I just think he's underrated as a receiving target. He catches everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen him drop a ball in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that doesn't wear gloves. Is he an outstanding? Everybody wears gloves now.
Right, exactly.
Right? Am I right?
And he doesn't wear gloves.
He's old school.
Yeah, really old school.
You know, he's not going to run past anybody. He's going to get by with, you know, route savvy, you know, football intelligence. You know, he's a guy of few words. He just likes playing football. If you get him in an interview setting, he might say 10 words. But you put him on the field, I think you know what you're going to get from him. And he had one of the best plays of the day in the passing game today. They're working red zone, and he totally sells the linebacker that he's taking an out route. No longer the linebacker's responsibility. So this guy thinks he's passing him off. He takes one step out, cuts behind the linebacker. Tyrod finds him into the end zone for a 20-yard touchdown. So it's just an example of the route savvy that I think he has, even though he's only going into his third year here. Is he going to blow the doors off this year and have a 60-catch season? I don't think so. But I think he presents at least another option for Rick Dennison in this offense to utilize in the passing game.
Speaking of routes, is it my imagination or are that tight end group, and I was watching them for a few minutes today, they're running different style of routes than what we saw over the last couple of years.
And
I kind of like what I saw.
And they're being used heavily.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just this portion of install is
right.
Tight end heavy.
Right.
That could very well be. But today, like, 7 of the first 10 passes went to, like, tight ends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Is this just today, or are we going to see more of this?
Yeah.
So it's something that I made a note of it. I mean, I want to keep an eye on that to see if that continues and carries on through next week's OTA sessions and the following week.
And you go back and you think about when Rick Dennison was in Baltimore. They used a lot of – they used two tight ends quite often. You know, they used those
probably
guys.
Would have used them more if Dennis Pitta wasn't
right.
Hurt so much
exactly.
Over the last
yeah.
Year.
Yeah, and then his time in Denver, they used their tight ends. And even in Houston, they used their tight ends. In this offense, I think the tight ends are going to be used, and it's going to be different routes. Like you said, Murph, it's going to be like – you know, different nod routes and not just like stops and hitches
right.
And things like
that's
that.
That's what
you know?
I was thinking.
Yeah, where these guys
today.
Can catch the ball on the move and actually be weapons in this offense.
And that's what O'Leary did on that touchdown play that I just mentioned. I mean, he fakes that outside, cuts behind the linebacker, safety's late,
yeah.
Tyrod hits him in stride, and, you know, he can get away from the safety because he's running at top speed on, you know, heading towards the post. So it's good to see. I mean, it's encouraging knowing how frustrated a lot of fans were last year, you know, that Charles Clay wasn't getting the ball enough. I'm not getting the sense that that's going to be the problem this year.
Yeah. On defense, Chris, anybody jump out at you? Anybody stand out from the first 3 days?
You know, there's an undrafted kid, Jacob Lindsay. He's the second-string middle linebacker right now. He's got Vallejo and Milano on either side of him in this second-string defense. And Harvard kid, but I don't know what it is. There's nothing that's, you know, exceptional that stands out about him. There's just this presence with him, this air of confidence that I like. So I'm interested to see more of him. I mean, could he be a player? Yes. Will he? I don't know. I want to see more, but the early signs that I've witnessed here and in the rookie minicamp, that's when I first noticed him. So I wanted to see him now with more vets on the field. You know, he hasn't had busts. He's already calling the defense in the huddle and not having a problem. So I'm kind of interested to see more of him, knowing the dearth of depth that this team has at linebacker right now.
What about Ramon Humber? How has he looked thus far?
He's moved well. I think he's a guy that when he reads the play, he gets there in a hurry because he does have that great straight line speed. It's what makes him such a good special teamer because, you know, running 40 yards downfield, this guy can do that and do it well. I just haven't seen enough of the coverage assignments with him to get a handle on how he is in reverse, which is going to be important if he's going to be one of those guys in the mix at that weak side linebacker position, which he is right now.
Getting minicamp observations for OTA observations, rather, from Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. It's not just OTAs. As we said, Tre'Davious White signed his contract today. And 6 days into his job, Brandon Bean, I said to Donald earlier, Chris, Brandon Bean's going to get an award from the state of New York for creating jobs. right? I mean, the guy's he's a hiring Hochul machine
over
right now.
Or something.
He's a hiring machine. Lake Dawson added to the pretty impressive mix of personnel talent they've stockpiled here.
Yeah, and I think you have to, you know, as much as Brandon Bean has done an excellent job of prying these guys away from other teams and who are under contract, by the way,
right,
with other clubs, and in some cases not taking title promotions, I think you have to tip your hat to the Pegulas here also, because they've obviously told Brandon Bean, you have the resources that you need to hire whoever you need to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Brandon Bean has taken that and run with it. And I think he's made the difference in terms of salary to get guys here to help them build this thing. I mean, you're talking about an assistant director of college scouting who's got about 20 years in this business.
Yeah.
As an assistant director of college scouting, I mean, it's almost unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brian Gain, he's probably going to be a general manager in this league in 2 years.
Soon, yeah.
And you've got him as your vice president of personnel. Even Joe Shane, I mean, here's a guy that's probably going to be considered for GM jobs in the next couple of years. Even if you have these guys for a couple of years, if you build this thing the right way, they're going to be gone, but you're going to be set up well for the future. I mean, I don't know that we've seen this kind of experience proven scouting and personnel minds together in Buffalo's front office since the days of Polian, Butler, and A.J. Smith. I don't want to put that on them, but in terms of just experience off the bat, it's comparable.
You know, I talked about this when they first hired Brandon Bean, and we talked about how young he was. Even when they were interviewing people for the GM spot, it was like, man, they're young. All of the guys that they're interviewing are young.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, if they hire one of these guys, they're going to have to get some experience around them, just like Coach McDermott did. And it seems like it's like the same thing on the scouting side. You know, we hire Brandon Bean. He's a young guy. He's done a lot of different things. But in terms of football, scouting, he's hired some guys that have years of doing it,
yeah,
you know, and I think it's a plus for this organization.
Hey, Chris, last thing, Chris, before we let you go, any comments at all? This is back to the OTA and the tempo of practice, the intensity. I don't like to make too much of that, but it does seem to be that there's an urgency in these OTA workouts that, you know, is rare, I think.
You hear Coach McDermott say it at least half a dozen times a practice. Full speed, full speed. He wants them practicing fast because his coaching philosophy is, if you don't practice at game speed, when you get to the game, it's going to feel fast. He wants to practice as close to game speed as they can, so when you get to the game, it's easy. And I'm in favor of that approach 100% because practice how you're going to play. So when you play, you're ready.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how fast this game is. You take one false step, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So you better know what steps you're taking at top speed. You know, your brain, you condition your brain to think that fast during the practice week. You'll be able to capably think that fast on Sundays.
I mean, when you get a guy like a Jerry going up against a Deion, and Jerry goes top speed, game speed,
yeah.
Deion is like, ooh, all right. Like, I'm not, now I see what yeah. this is about. Like, all right, and, now I got to bring it.
Right, and now here at the end of the OTA week in week one, he's made that adjustment.
Right.
And so that's the encouraging thing. So, you know, hopefully all the new guys are quite literally quick on the uptake.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be, or they're going to get left behind.
You mentioned you have a post coming up soon on the website about Deion Dawkins. What else? What's coming up on the Buffalo?
Well, we'll have OTA notes this afternoon, just, you know, some highlights from the practice, some other observations that we made in addition to the few that we've mentioned here on your show. We'll also have a feature on offensive coordinator Rick Dennison and Tyrod Taylor, you know, back together after their year in Baltimore back in 2014, collaborating, where Tyrod's taken his game since leaving Coach Dennison in Baltimore, you know, and where they want the jumping off point to be now. You know, that'll be a feature up on the website tomorrow.
Okay, Chris Brown, thank you. Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joining us in studio on a busy day of news here at One Bills Drive. Tyrod Taylor, Bills quarterback, talked to the media after today's OTA workout, and he started out talking about his initial impressions of Rick Dennison's new offense and this Bills offensive scheme.
I like it. I think it gets it gives everybody a good chance to go out there and make plays. As far as us throwing the ball, spreading it around, great concepts, even getting the backs involved in the pass game, and as well as the running game. It's similar to what we were doing, allow Shady to get in space and the other backs that we have, and even utilizing Pat and Tobit out the backfield as far as catching and allowing them to do what they do best, which is going out there and knocking somebody's head off. Probably shouldn't say that, but I think it's very good for us. We just got to continue to keep building each day.
With Coach Dennison, you know, your reps were limited in Baltimore. Now you have the full breadth of them as the starter here. How far do you feel you can take your game with Coach with that much more opportunity on the field?
I definitely think I could take it to the next level, something that I've focused on throughout this offseason, which just continue to keep digesting the offense and trying to be better at it each day. Like I said, this offense allows us to spread the ball around, allows me to get on the edge with the keepers and matching up with the run game that we're doing. I'm excited about the week that we had thus far. Just got to continue to keep building throughout OTAs and minicamp, moving into training camp.
I know Coach Kelly is working with you, obviously, as the quarterback's coach, but Coach Dennison, you know, he spent a year with you day in, day out in the meetings. Is there something that maybe he knows about you and your game that he's kind of spreading throughout the offensive staff and trying to put in the scheme to take advantage of your assets?
Yes, he knows my ability, but also at the time when me and Coach Dennison were together, my reps, as far as actually starting and playing in the NFL, were very few. So he's had time to watch me for 2 years and try to build something around that, as well as me adjusting to his system. Like I said, just the reps that I'm getting here is definitely key to my success, and I'm taking each one very seriously, even the ones that I'm not on the field, just trying to better myself as a whole, as a player, and being a better teammate and leader and everything.
As much as you'd like to have Sammy out here, is the silver lining maybe there's more time with the other new guys that you do have to get used to in the passing game, you know, Holmes, Brown, I mean, these guys that are out there.
Yes and no. I mean, Sammy, of course you want him healthy. Getting him on the field healthy and him maintaining himself is definitely key to our success as a team and to his success as a player. It's a new system for him. All he can do right now is learn from watching. But, of course, you want him on the field, and that time will come. We're going to get together this summer once he's cleared and start chipping away at the offense and getting reps on the field as well, too. So that time will come, but in the meantime, it's a bunch of guys out there competing. Andre Brown, Philly, Jeremy Butler, as far as the new faces that we brought in, I'm going out there and playing well, and even some of the guys that's been around, Dez and Tate and Walt, they're going out there and making plays as well, too.
Hey, Tyrod, so you can keep facing that way. Dennison said when he went through the tape of last year, looking at everything, he didn't care what the scheme was, what you guys did last year. It was just about finding guys who can perform for him
this year as players? The same thing. Do you just forget about last year, the scheme, what you accomplished or didn't accomplish, and you got to move forward with a new guy?
Of course you have to move forward. As far as from a player's perspective, you want to learn from, because we know the scheme that we ran last year. I can see why he says that, because it's a new scheme that he's bringing in. He doesn't know what was called when he's watching film or how we were being coached. But as a player, you know all those things, and you want to be able to correct those mistakes, but at the same time convert that over to the scheme that we're running now and what fits. Some of the concepts and stuff match with this same stuff that we've ran for the past 2 years. But you just want to take steps in the positive direction as far as being better as a player.
The one thing he did say, though, is obviously you guys ran the ball better than any team the last 2 years. So he does want to meld some of that into what he does. Have you noticed that already in the playbook that you've looked through?
Absolutely. We've carried over some runs. And just being with Coach Dennison for 1 year and Baltimore, definitely going to run the football. And we have the offensive linemen to do so, as well as Shady and a couple other backs that can do it as well, too. So that's definitely going to be part of our offense, and with the keepers and the nakeds and getting on the edge. Deception for defense and being able to take shots over top. We have some guys like Sammy, like Philly, like Andre, like Zay that can go over the top, and looking forward to seeing those shots happen.
Having been in the room with him then and now, is there something about his thinking, his views of the game, his views of offense that,
talking about Coach Dennison,
yeah, that appeals to you, that you say, man, I like the way he thinks about this kind of stuff? Or?
I've always liked his offense, his style of coaching. He's very detailed in what he expects from the quarterback position. And I just continue to keep grinding away, using the time that we have that's available for us to meet, and just trying to soak up as much knowledge. And as well as, I mean, he's coached Peyton within the last 2 years. So I've been around a guy like that, one of the greatest to play the game. So just to try to get maybe Peyton's input on his offense and watch some of the film when they were in Denver.
Tyrod, do you feel that taking shots when they presented themselves, do you feel this, the offense, or, you know, whether it was you or the offense, did you take enough shots last year, do you feel?
We were beat up a little bit at the wide receiver position. Could we have taken more shots? Yes, but at the same time, you want to do that with the guys that you're comfortable doing it with. Like I said, last year is behind us. Continue to keep learning. It's a different scheme now. But yes, we could have taken some more shots, like I said, but we were beat up, and it's more so to get a completion and to keep the chains moving. Beat up on both sides of the ball. So we had to play the game a little different. Some games we were down. Can't take those shots as well, too. You have to be able to manage the clock and get chunks back when you can.
Zay mentioned that you sent him a text after the draft. What do you feel like he can bring to the table? Obviously, he's somebody that you're excited to work with. You sent him a text.
Yeah, I try to text all the rookies. I know that day is special. I was a part of draft weekend. Didn't get drafted as high as Zay. He's fortunate. But he's a great player. I watched him compete against Virginia Tech for a couple years. And I've actually sat down and watched the receivers, all the receivers that came out this past year, with the wide receiver coach, and I was excited about Zay. I know he has time spent with him at East Carolina. He's a very talented player, a natural ball catcher, and I'm excited to work with him.
Tyrod, what have you noticed about Sammy and what he's doing now to try to keep up to speed, I guess, both on the field with mental reps and in the classroom?
I would say he just the maturation process is definitely sped up for him. He's older in the league. He knows what it takes. He knows where he wants to get, and he's working towards that, even down to eating right and putting the right things in his body. And you could just tell his attention to detail each day has definitely been different than the years past that I've been around him. He's always been a hard worker, but you could definitely tell that he's out there with the right mindset and with a positive attitude, trying to help the guys that are around him. And as well as questioning the quarterbacks, just trying to pick our brains and just trying to get as much of the playbook down now in the learning process, so when he comes back, he can go out there and react at a full speed.
Quarterback Tyrod Taylor meeting with the media after today's third and final OTA session of this week. That's interesting, Tyrod's observation about Sammy Watkins, Donald, and talks about how the maturation process sped up for Watkins, and he said his attention to detail is different than in years past. He's out there with the right mindset. I'm sure he's not finding fault with Tyrod's approach in his, or with Sammy's approach in his first 2 years.
Right.
But I can't help but wonder how much the not picking up the fifth-year option gets your attention. Even if you're not thinking about it, you're kind of thinking about it. Okay, I'm in a contract year.
You know, I was out on the field talking to a couple of people, looking at Sammy run around and do the things that he's doing on the side. And I remember we said, like, man, he's focused. Like, you can see it in his face. He's not really talking out there. I mean, it's just all work, business, let's go. It's time to go right now. He's doing as much as he can do, as much as they allow him to do. And you could just see it, the passion. You could see the focus in his face. You know, he knows that this is the year for him. If he wants to get paid, this is his year. It's a contract year for him. So he wants to come out here, make sure that he's in shape, make sure that he has the playbook down packed so that he doesn't have to worry about that. He can go out there and just be the Sammy Watkins that came out of Clemson.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tyrod Taylor. We're going to hear from Rick Dennison when we return, the Bills offensive coordinator who talked about Tyrod and his other quarterbacks, plus fake news, real news coming up today as well. We always welcome your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy and Donald Jones live from One Bills Drive, where things are popping today. Tre'Davious White right?
Oh, I like how you used that one. Bringing it today. I like Tre'Davious this,
White. Tre'Davious White signed his contract. Buffalo's first-round draft pick now in the fold. It's expected that Zay Jones will sign his shortly as well. Jones out for a while, sidelined by injury. Zay Jones suffered an apparent knee sprain that's going to keep him out on a week-to-week basis, the Bills say. It happened on Tuesday in the OTAs. Did not participate yesterday and again today. And as we said, the Bills say that it'll be about a week-to-week situation for him. The Bills also announcing today that they have added another member to their personnel department. They continue to rapidly fill up that personnel department. Lake Dawson signed on as assistant director of college scouting. He played 6 years in the NFL. He has been around the league for a long time. Lake Dawson is now he was a former vice president of player personnel a couple of years ago in Tennessee. Now he is number two in the Bills college scouting department. Mm-hmm. So they're adding some depth to their own scouting ranks. Man. Just 6 days in for Brandon Bean. Pretty amazing.
6 days in. How many hires? Five?
I think so. Yeah, five hires in 6 days. Sheesh. More to come, we believe. Time now for our favorite part of the show. It is fake news, real news. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Donald and I debate a couple of NFL issues and proclaim them either fake or real.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins, Washington quarterback, says his contract situation is in a good place. His contract situation is in a good place. He's under the franchise tag for the second consecutive season. He told CSN Mid-Atlantic that he's in, quote, a good place right now. He said he's not worried about his contract. It'll be $24 million this year for Kirk Cousins. Ooh. That's a pretty good place to be in. But it is just 1 year. Kirk Cousins says he's in a good place, fake or real. I say real. Yeah, it's a risk, but you know, there's always risk when you play, and he's playing under the franchise tag for big money for another year and a chance, and I'm sure he's betting on himself, a chance that if he plays well, he'll get an opportunity to make even more money next year. Kirk Cousins in a good place contractually. I say, yeah, that's real.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, this is real as well. I think that, you know, I think I read somewhere he's going to make in the last 2 years like $44 million or something like that. So, yeah, that's pretty good. I would think he's okay with that. Is it a risk playing under the franchise tag? Yeah, but he seems to have the personality of, you know what, you can keep on. I mean, obviously you guys want to sign a long-term deal, but you want to keep on making me prove it and I'll prove it. You know, I'll take this team to the playoffs. And, you know, I think players more and more now seem to want to have the big bonus money instead of the long-term deals.
Yeah.
Guys are getting smarter about that whole situation.
You know, you wonder how Washington deals with it, the football team, because that's a huge cap hit for the second consecutive year. You wonder,
right.
You know, what goes lacking in the rest of their roster when they devote that much money to a quarterback. Obviously, they feel pretty good about Kirk Cousins and the way he plays. And you know, but the factor, $24 million this year and, what, $20 million something last year, $19 million last year.
Right.
What does that do to the rest of their roster?
Now,
it can't be good.
They have to be trying to get this thing done.
Yeah.
They have to be trying to get this thing done so that he's not that much of a cap hit. Now, I don't know how that works. If he starts the season still playing under the franchise and they get the deal done, does it change their cap numbers? How does that work?
That's a good question. I would think so, yeah. I would think so. Kirk Cousins in a good place. Here's quarterback news. We all know about the big move the Kansas City Chiefs made on draft day with the Bills to move up to draft their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, right? Mm-hmm. Big move up. Obviously, they have big plans for Mahomes. What about the incumbent starter at Kansas City, Alex Smith, going into his 13th year in the National Football League, clearly aware that the man of the future is going to be Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith reached out to Mahomes this week to tell him things are okay. It won't be a hostile relationship. Alex Smith embracing Patrick Mahomes. Real or fake?
Real.
You say real. Tell me why.
I'm going to say real on this because, you know, Alex Smith is – he's been in this league now for a good amount of time, right? So he knows, he understands how these things work. He sees that this team traded up from 27 all the way down to number 10 to pick up Mahomes, you know. And so he can see, oh, they really want this guy. Now, I don't know how fast this guy can develop, but I know at some point I won't be here, you know. But at the same time, I want us to have a good working relationship and so we can have a good room moving forward, at least this season. We'll see about next season. He's gone through this before out in San Francisco, and so he can just see it coming again. So I think he's embracing that. He understands it. He knows that he hasn't really been able to get it done. Now, they've won in the regular season, but not in the playoffs. He has not been able to take any of his teams to the Super Bowl, and so he can see it coming.
11 or more wins in three of his 4 years with Kansas City. He's done pretty well.
Oh, he's done pretty well.
For 3,200 yards in each of the last four seasons.
He's been the quarterback that everybody has said he's just a game-managing quarterback. You know, he can't get it done in the playoffs.
So I'll say real to an extent. I don't think he's going to turn the keys over to Patrick Mahomes right away.
No.
But
no.
I'd say it's real. You know, I mean, what choice does Alex Smith have?
Right. He has no choice.
He has no choice. He's there. He's on the roster. Mahomes is the future.
He's definitely not going to turn the keys over. He's going to come out this year and try to win the whole thing and say, all right, now you guys are going to have to, like, force me out of here. I'm embracing him coming in here. We're going to be, you know, we're going to work together. And they'll probably end up friends. But that doesn't mean that I'm handing the torch over to him. You will have to force me out of here because I'm going to take this team to the Super Bowl this year. I'm sure that's what he's thinking.
Fake or real? Here's an amazing story. Don't know, honestly, whether to believe this or not. You know, the Bills were interested in Trey Boston, the safety, who was released earlier this spring. And they brought him in, actually, for a free agent visit. Mm-hmm. He was decided between the Bills, the L.A. Chargers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Decided, what, over the weekend to go with the L.A. Chargers, I guess. And he told reporters the story yesterday of how he made that decision. Said he was pumping his gas, put his wallet in his car. A guy standing down the street corner with three kids asked him for some change. And he gave him $20. Now, Trey Boston says, quote, so he tells me, thank you so much. He said, in my mind, I'm saying you're here for a reason. So in my mind, I'm saying, should I ask him? This is Trey Boston speaking. I'm thinking about asking him, L.A. or Buffalo? So it apparently came down to the Chargers or the Bills. Trey Boston picks up the story. Before I could ask him, the man said, quote, thank you so much. There aren't too many people like you in this world. My name is Mike Daniels, but people call me L.A. Trey Boston says that's why he chose the Los Angeles Chargers. He said he was crying. He gave him $80 more. And Trey Boston says that the random comment from a passerby is what made him choose the Chargers instead of the Bills. Fake or real? Jeez, it's a wonderful story. I mean, they'll make a movie out of that, I guess.
Yeah, they will.
And it might be fiction. I'm just going to slap fake on it because it's almost too good to be true.
Yeah, it is. That's like, I'm going to go fake on this one as well because there's no way you made a decision on where you want to work for the next, I don't know, however many years he'll end up in San Diego by a guy that you saw at the gas station that says something to you.
Nickname is L.A.
Right, because his nickname was L.A. and because... I'm sorry. I just can't believe that. I'm going to go fake on that one.
I mean, what if his nickname was Ashtabula? Would he sign with the Browns? You know what I mean? My name is Cleveland.
Oh, right.
Okay, we're the Browns. Pick up the phone.
The Browns.
I don't get that. All right, fake or real, it's presented by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Earlier today, we heard from Rick Dennison, the Bills' offensive coordinator, and he talked a lot about his quarterback play, and he had some thoughts on Tyrod Taylor and Tyrod's approach to this season and what he's seen so far.
We're still working through that. I think he is everything that I expected. He's doing what I would have expected when I worked with him in Baltimore. I think he knows what he's doing. He knows where everybody is. He's a good leader in the huddle, and I think he's doing a good job. Obviously, his work habits are just as great as they were back then. I mean, he's working his tail off at it. He's watching film. He's doing work outside the building.
What are you able to do? Well, I guess first off, what makes Tyrod the right fit for your offense, and what are you able to do to fit the offense?
Well, right fit or not fit, he's a good player. I mean, he throws the ball well, and he's athletic, so he can do some of the stuff that we want to do when we move him out of the pocket. But I've had quarterbacks that aren't as gifted that can still get that done because they have to defend the run. And obviously with the guys we have up front and LaShawn, I think we can run the ball pretty doggone good. So they will have to defend a lot of the field.
Rick Dennison, Bills offensive coordinator. He also has other quarterbacks to work with here on the roster behind Tyrod Taylor, including T.J. Yates. He has Nathan Peterman, obviously the draft pick, Cardale Jones, last year's fourth rounder, and Josh Woodrum on the roster. Rick Dennison was asked a question about how he's going to get reps for all of those quarterbacks during these spring workouts.
Yeah, I had T.J. in Houston. I feel comfortable that he knows what to do, but it's a competition, and we're just in May right now. We don't have to play for a while. We don't even have to practice, in training camp for a while. So we're trying to get everybody as many reps as we can, but just knowing we're trying to train the guys who are going to be playing in September. We're trying to make sure that they get the bulk of the reps, but we're not discounting anybody's experience. We're trying to give them all the experience, and some of it may have to be just on tape for the time being. But at some point in time, that'll work itself out. I don't have any problem with it. Certainly for Nathan, who just got here, and he had a rookie minicamp. Coming up next week will be the first time he hears some of this stuff. He's not heard it before, so it'll be good for him to watch the veterans do that. For the other guys that have been here a while, they've heard it once, but they've heard these first 3 days three times. So, it's just the way we kind of present them. The bulk of the material, most of what we try to teach concepts are in the first 3 days of install, so that's why we try to teach that three times in a row. Now we're getting to some more specialty things, some third downs and some red zone, some different situations, and they maybe need to sit back and take a look at those and watch other guys rep those things. But we'll all get the right experience and we'll all make the right decision. I think those things will play out pretty easily.
Rick Dennison, offensive coordinator, back to wrap things up in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What have we learned? We did just learn that Brandon Bean has been very busy. He's made a lot of hires. And we've just learned that the Bills have hired Brian Adams and Marvin Allen as national scouts. So that goes up to about seven since Brandon Bean has been hired here 5 days ago, something like that. We also had Reggie Ragland on the show earlier, and he talked about being medically cleared to return.
Being away from your teammates, just watching on the sideline, you really can't do nothing. You just feel like you're alienated, and you just feel like you're not a part of the team. But once you get back out there, you're just happy to be there. And I'm just thankful because last year, I played at the highest level you could play in college football with Alabama and Coach Saban. And then getting hurt, just watching, all my teammates play last year, it was hurting for me. But it made me realize that God got a plan for me and that I got to go by his rules and on everything. And I know when my chance comes, I'm going to go out there and do what I have to do to be successful.
You can see and you can hear just that passion in Reggie Ragland and how excited he is to get back to football. I'm looking forward to seeing him out at training camp this year. I think he's going to do big things. We also heard from Rick Dennison today, and he talked about Tyrod Taylor's fit in this offense.
When we were in Baltimore, he did a good job with anything we did, drop back, keepers, our play pass. He handles the checks very well. So I don't think it's a fit, a matter of making anything square pegs and round holes or round holes and square. I think he plays the game well, and that's what we're trying to do is get our guys to play the game well and win some games.
We also learned today of Zay Jones, his injury today, or his injury in, I guess, yesterday's practice or Tuesday's practice. We learned about that. They're saying, the Bills are saying, that it's going to be a week-to-week thing. I personally don't believe that he'll end up back here for mini camp. So we'll see. We had Chris Brown on the show. He talked about maybe Zay Jones will be back for the last mini camp. I don't think they should rush him back, but we'll see how that turns out. We talked about Tre'Davious White, and he had a big day today. He got to sign his rookie contract, which, you know, I'm sure he got a couple million in the bank or something like that. So, man, you have a guy who went as a first-round draft pick, had a baby in the same weekend. Now he gets to sign his contract, and he talked about, you know, how he's going to buy his mom a house. I think that's a great thing for him. Out on the field, he's looked good thus far in mini camps and in OTAs. He looks like he belongs out there. He has very quick feet for a cornerback. You can see, I don't think he's going to have any issues. He talked about in his press conference how he was picking up on the defense. He seems to understand where everybody's supposed to be. For me, that's the biggest thing in a cornerback. You have to understand where everybody else is supposed to be. It helps you do your job. You don't have to think as much out there. So Tre'Davious White looks like he's going to fit into this defense. It's going to be a good competition between him and Kevon Seymour and even Ronald Darby and Sharice Wright and the rest of these veterans that they've signed. These guys are going to be competing out there during training camp to see who's going to be the starters on the outside and at the nickel position. That's going to be exciting, exciting time to watch for those guys. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'd like to thank our studio producers. I don't even know who our studio producers are, but thanks for everybody. Derek Kramer. I'd like to also thank J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnack, Thomas Hollander, James Donovan, and our producer, Jay Harris, for everything that he does for us every day on this show. Jay, you are the best. Thank you very much.